insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late. That's 914-803-4131. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, you can also join us in the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/liberaldanradio. It's easier just to have everybody in one chat. And if you're listening after the live broadcast, you could always leave your comments, questions, concerns, etc. on the show thread at liberaldan.com, over at facebook.com/liberaldan, or here at liberaldan radio on Twitter, or here on youtube.com/liberaldanradio as well. Shouts out to everybody who's here, TV2 Live, Elizabeth, Jolie, Aaron, the two members of the Mod Squad. Thank you all for joining us. We've got 9 viewers and 5 likes, so make sure to smash that like button and then the patriarchy. If you haven't subscribed, please make sure to do that as well. Remember to also to share videos, like other videos, comment, otherwise do whatever you need to do on those other videos to make sure that the algorithms are picking them up and showing them to other people to make sure that we can get more people to subscribe, because the faster we get to 1,000, the faster we can get to fun things like Super Chats and all that other good stuff, because there's no reason that the stupid podcast like the whatever folks can get Super Chats, but I can't. Anyway, so... before the show, I was hanging out with a friend of the show, Mandy Landry. It was her birthday today, so happy birthday to Mandy Landry. She is running for re-election here in Louisiana for the Louisiana legislature. Mandy Landry is a progressive candidate who did an impressive thing by pushing through a gun safety reform law through the conservative supermajority in the Louisiana legislature. That is no small task. That is a Herculean task. Despite that fact, she is being challenged by another Democrat, and there are some heavy hitters in Louisiana politics, including a sitting congressperson, including other folks who are, you know, former Louisiana senator who is a Democrat, who are getting behind her opponent. Why? I don't know. I invited her opponent to come on the podcast, if you remember, a few weeks or maybe months back. And at the last minute, her opponent backed out. I don't know why. Is that because she was afraid to have me ask the tough questions? I don't know. I wasn't going to be too hard on her, but I was going to ask questions like, what do you feel that you could do in the legislature that would be more effective than the current Representative Landry would be? And I think it's a reasonable question to ask. But she has some powerful people who are getting behind her trying to get Mandy Landry out. And people, I guess, people don't like the fact that Mandy Landry can't be controlled. So we will see. It was a good meeting. It was a good event. It was good to see her in person for the first time. And we will be having her back on the show. So what else is going on? Again, we've moved to 2 days a week. We did have a show yesterday, but the regular show times will be Mondays and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central. So remember to come in on Mondays as well. I believe Monday is Hal Sparks' birthday, so we'll be wishing a happy birthday to Hal Sparks then. I'll try and tell Andrea to get Hal to maybe see if Hal can call in so we can at least wish him a happy birthday, even if he doesn't stay on for long. We'll see if we can get that to happen. Maybe sing Hal happy birthday like Marilyn Monroe, like happy birthday. I don't know. We'll see. And of course, as always, tomorrow we've moved to one day a week, but tomorrow is my Thursday night gaming stream, twitch.tv/nerdydan.com. But if you're watching here, please remember to go, if you have Twitch, go follow twitch.tv/liberaldanradio, because once we get monetized here, I am going to start dual streaming to Twitch as well. And because I want to get monetized there too on twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. And so we can have it be in two different places. And then you could use your Amazon Prime to follow me and subscribe to me there as well, and do that for free too. So lots of stuff to talk about. I don't really have an official headlines bit, but it was funny. You had a bear that was on the loose at Disney, and everyone was freaking out on the bear on the loose. Everyone was making a whole big deal about it. They closed several portions of the Magic Kingdom so they could go catch the bear. But anybody who's ever been to Disney World during gay days at Disney would know that this is the first time that bears have run free at Disney World. You've had Jolie, I'm not going to be on Twitch on Tuesdays anymore. It's just Thursdays. The U.S. military lost that F-35 stealth fighter for like a good day and a half. The pilot ejected, and but the fighter kept flying for a good bit until it crashed. And they couldn't find it for over a day. But it's a stealth fighter. So doesn't that mean that they built it well? It did its job. If we couldn't find the stealth fighter, then that's good, right? That's a good thing. We couldn't find the stealth fighter. That means if we ever lost a stealth fighter out in, you know, in a combat scenario, it would be hard for our enemies to find it too. So that's a good thing. Elizabeth, seems suspect. Oh, it's more than suspect. Oh, we've talked about the problems of the Louisiana Democratic Party here for a while. We had the topic of conversation when they were going to endorse the Senate candidates, and the chair of the Democratic Party was like, look, we're going to change the rules because she didn't believe that the state of Louisiana was ready to vote for a black person at a statewide office. So they changed the rules to make it less likely for Gary Chambers, the statewide candidate for Senate, to get the endorsement. Because instead of going to the whole body to get the endorsement, they said, okay, you're going to go to get the executive committee endorsement. And then if the executive committee would then pass on their recommendations to who should get endorsed to the general body, and then the body would endorse, decide yay or nay on endorsing. So with these change of rules, Gary Chambers and Damon Lewis went and did the hard work and got the endorsement. They got the votes to get the endorsement of the executive committee. The head of the Louisiana Democratic Party didn't like this, and she changed the rules on them yet again. And they went ahead and said, okay, well, let's endorse everybody then. We're going to endorse everybody. And so they came out of committee endorsing everybody. So everybody was endorsed. So if everybody's endorsed, then nobody's endorsed. It was a major embarrassment. This person who runs the Louisiana Democratic Party, you supported Republicans against a Democrat, like the current sitting Democratic governor, who is supported some very conservative things, but it's better than having the people who he ran against. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's much better than having a Governor Vitter. He's much better than having a Governor Rusponi. But she supported Republicans against him. So I don't know how on earth we ever thought that putting her in charge was a good idea, but she's not somebody who is trustworthy with the party, and she's driving the party into the dirt. It was suggested that I should run for the Democratic State Central Committee, and we'll see. We'll see who the person is, if they need to be challenged, and what work it would need to be done to actually challenge that person, or if it would be an open seat. Yes, the Louisiana Democrats are really bad. And the sad thing is, I happily voted for, like, Troy Carter for Congress, and he's my congressional representative. And Troy Carter is endorsing Mandy Landry's opponent, who is, I think, being backed by the head of the Louisiana Democratic Party. There's no good reason for this person to challenge Mandy Landry. There's no good reason. You know, the only reason is, A, because they want somebody who's going to be beholden to the head of the party, and Mandy Landry's not. Or B, the head of the Louisiana Democratic Party is a shill and wants to split the vote to try and get a Republican in there. So, let's see. DJT is a carpetbagger. Anyway, so that was, I will invite her opponent on the show and said, reach back out and say, hey, if you want to come back on the show, you come back on the show, but I'm still going to ask the hard questions because they need to be asked, because we need to know, what does she think that she's going to do in the legislature that's going to be more effective? I mean, does she think she would be able to push a gun control bill through a Republican legislature? Does she think she'd be able to get those things done that she got done? You know, does she think she'd be able to do a better job? Why does she think that Mandy Landry needs to be replaced? What good does it do to stir the pot? Because, I mean, if sure, you might have political aspirations, but what good does it do to replace somebody who's doing a good job? If you want good, if your goal is to do the right thing, and the person who's currently sitting in there is doing the right thing, then maybe find another seat to run for. That's just my opinion. But hey, Wes, how's it going? I don't hide from you, Wes. MJ Daniel, Louisiana has history of political corruption, much like New Jersey. That's like saying I'm a little bit overweight. anyway, so I have we had the show yesterday, and a little bit of the show yesterday, we were talking about the strike of the United Auto Workers and against the Big Three, and they're not striking against every plant yet, but it could escalate if a deal's not met, and a lot of people are thinking the deal's not going to be met yet unless something changes during the course of this show, which I doubt. But one of the things that really, I was going to name the show something completely different today. It's going to be something more strike related, but they started talking about how Donald Trump during the second debate, the Republican primary debate, is going to be giving, you know, wanting to be giving a speech to the United Auto Workers. And the people on MSNBC, whoever was on MSNBC at the time, I was listening on the radio, so I didn't see who it was. But the person on the talking about Trump was calling him a populist. Donald Trump is not a populist. Not at all. He may be a faux populist. He may say things that try to make him sound like a populist, but he is not in any way, shape, or form a populist. Like, Wikipedia is not a great site to go to for anything, but one of the things that they describe right-wing populism, the page, right-wing populism, also called national populism or white-wing nationalism, says is a political ideology that combines right-wing politics and populist rhetoric. Is there a speech impediment? Right, populist rhetoric and themes. That's the key words there. It incorporates right-wing politics with the rhetoric of populism. But just because you have the rhetoric of populism, it doesn't mean it's populism. It's like calling yourself, National Socialism. It doesn't make it socialism. It's something else. National Socialism is not socialism. Right-wing populism is not in and of itself populism. Now, people are going to argue with me and say, there are populists on the right-wing populists, but you're being pedantic. Yeah, and sometimes there is unneeded pedantry. There are several times where I will call out people for unneeded pedantry, and there are other times where pedantry is called for, and this is a time where I think that pedantry is called for. Why? Because Donald Trump is not a populist. When you could go and you could find definitions that fit your definition of what populism is, like there's another Wikipedia thing is like in American political rhetoric, why do I have a speech impediment? The populist was originally associated with the Populist Party and related left-wing movements, but beginning in the 1950s, it began to take on a more generic meaning, describing any anti-establishment movement, regardless of its position on the left-right political spectrum. And I'm not going to argue that you can't have a right-wing populist movement in and of itself. It's very well possible that you could have a right-wing movement that is a populist movement. Like, you could have a Christian evangelical type movement that is populist in nature. But I'm not going to say that Donald Trump represents that at all. Now, he'll pay lip service to it. He absolutely pays lip service to populism. He makes it seem like he will run as a populist. He runs as a populist a lot. He says things as if he's a populist, but just recall what happened with the steelworkers in 2016 when he went to the steelworkers and he said, oh, we're going to bring the jobs back to steelworkers. Steel jobs are going to come back. We're going to make America great again, and we're going to have all the steel jobs. The steel industry is going to be booming under Donald Trump. And, you know, whatever happened, you know, I'm not going to give him credit for it happening, you know, but sure, steel jobs did come back to the country, and he promised the steel workers that they were going to start making more money, because the steel workers, like the United Auto Workers, had, in order to, you know, make sure that they kept their jobs and in order to give a little bit to their employers, they said, okay, we'll make sacrifices so that y'all don't go under. And they made the sacrifices so that the businesses that they work for wouldn't go under. But they were like, look, when the money starts coming back in, when the manufacturing starts coming back in, we should get to see a little bit of the profits. Y'all should make it rain on us. And then when it didn't happen, all these steelworkers are like, well, I thought Donald Trump said he was going to give us the money. Well, you were a fool for thinking that Donald Trump was an actual populist. Donald Trump is always in the pockets of the big business interests because Donald Trump is a big businessman. Well, at least he wants to be. Donald Trump always is going to be on the side of big business. He's never going to be on the side of labor. Donald Trump will never, ever, ever, ever in a million years side with labor. He'll say it. He will say that he sides with labor. He will say the words. He'll do a song and dance. I mean, I don't want to see the dance, but he'll say like, oh, the the United Auto Workers deserve their fair share, and they deserve to have whatever it is. Let's see if we can pull up Donald Trump's statement on the auto workers. Let's just see. Donald Trump statement on UAW strike. Let's see if he said what he has said. Of course, UAW president slams Trump ahead of the auto visit as well. So former U.S. President Donald Trump plans to give a speech in Detroit on September 27th. To a crowd of union workers, skipping the second Republican debate. It's said on Monday. The primetime speech is expected to be delivered to auto workers and other blue-collar union members. They had added, the speech comes as Trump has been harshly critical of President Joe Biden's electric vehicle policies and urged auto workers to back his candidacy.
You should back me because I'm going to be pro-you.
No, you're not. Doesn't necessarily say exactly why Trump says Biden's campaign criticized Trump. Instead of standing with workers, Trump cut taxes for the super wealthy while auto companies shuttered their doors and shipped American jobs overseas. No self-serving photo op can erase Trump's 4 years of abandoning union workers and standing with the ultra-rich friends. Exactly. Trump said recently that Biden is waging war on the auto industry through electric vehicle mandates and said the UAW should endorse him. I think Donald Trump must be smoking the same drugs that Boebert has in her vape. Assuming that Boebert had drugs in her vape, that still stands to be seen. Current strike has profound geographical resonance because of Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. I'll get to you, caller, in a second. Bill P. Christo fascism is a form of populism. The KKK is a form of right-wing populism. Even if we want to be giving and say that the Klan is a form of far right-wing populism, Donald Trump is still not a populist. Wait, we got Daily News? Hey, Daily News, what's going on? Good to see you. Haven't seen you in a bit. How's the other half? Hope she's doing well. So you must make sacrifices not to go under. UAW is making more than 20% less when you figure in inflation. Other companies are making massive profits and scaling down their production. Fewer cars, less gas needed. Electronics figure in bigly. 40% raises for auto workers since 1970. 1,040% raise for CEOs. Trump is critical of the union leaders, but has never criticized the millionaire execs. Exactly, Bill. I always figure there are trolls of mine. We're trying to be, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Let's see. There we go. Is this Wes?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Or is this Khalil?
Yeah, it's Khalil.
Hey, Khalil, what's going on?
I'm doing okay. One of the things I noticed about, you have people like Jesse Lee Peterson. I don't know if I told you about him.
Uh-huh.
Basically, people like him, they act pro-black when it comes to going against other minorities. But
uh-huh.
Then when it comes to going against, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes to going against actual white supremacists, they support that type of stuff. They sit there and act stupid, and then they say, oh, you're playing the race card and all that stuff. It's like, at least back in the 1960s when people were racist, they didn't try to pretend that they cared. Most of them didn't try to pretend like they cared. Nowadays, even like when you had like house black people, a lot of them didn't pretend like they cared about African Americans and then, you know, be two-faced it. Nowadays, you have racists and racist supporters that are two-faced it.
Right. I mean, Jesse Lee Peterson, just briefly looking at his Wikipedia page, sounds like Uncle Ruckus from the Boondocks.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hope Uncle Ruckus, I'm hoping that he was at least not two-faced it like Jesse Lee Peterson.
Actually, Uncle Ruckus is probably more honest than Peterson might be, as you describe him. But yeah, I mean, in the Wikipedia page in 2020, Jesse Lee Peterson called Donald Trump the Great White Hope.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's like, so, I will respect Peterson more if he was more honest. He didn't try to use black people to go against other, like, Hispanics and, illegal Hispanics, people that are, that the U.S. government messed up the country and that happened, why they're here. Because even, like, George Zimmerman, he defended George Zimmerman, but he doesn't, you know, like, if it's an actual illegal that does it, he'll go support, he doesn't support them. It's like, be honest, you know.
Well, yeah, in 2013, he called Trayvon Martin a thug. He is against Black History Month and Kwanzaa. In 2005, he suggested that most African Americans in New Orleans were relying on government to save them. Yeah, that's just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to not, you know, be two-faced like that. He needs to either, you know, be fully pro-black or either be fully anti-black. Because, I mean, and not only that, his supporters are talk stupid, too. And it's obvious that he's saying racist stuff because most black people who support some racist stuff, they know when the line is. And this guy doesn't know where the line is. And his supporters talk to us like we're stupid. You know, it's like, how are you going to say somebody saying that, you know, going against black history is telling the truth? How are you going to say that? How are you going to say that most black people are lazy and stuff like that and support that type of stuff? It's like at least you would think that his supporters have a little bit of sense, most of them. I'm not going to say all of them don't, but you would think that a lot of them would have sense, even the white ones, to not talk to us like we're stupid.
You probably won't be able to hear this, but on the Wikipedia page, there's like a minute clip that the YouTube audience will be able to hear. So let me play this real quick. Oh, he's just talking about men and stuff. That's him more talking about, like, I could probably cover him when I talk about the unraveling toxic masculinity stuff, because he seems like he grabs onto that crap too. But I mean, I can't imagine a black man being born in Alabama in the 40s and embracing the stuff that he's embraced. It's ridiculous.
It is.
So, but I mean, it's crazy to have, it's just, I mean, yeah, I wonder if he's the influence of Uncle Ruckus. Like, I wonder if you looked it up, who is the influence of Uncle Ruckus? I wonder if it would be the influence of Uncle Ruckus. He doesn't say if there's anybody specifically. I guess they couldn't necessarily say specifically that he was supposed to represent any one individual person, because then anybody who he was actually specifically trying to say, then they could probably sue him for you're trying to take my likeness or whatever. Because when you notice that anytime you say anytime you have anybody in a TV show and you say, and you have at the end, any representation or likeness or comparison to anybody in real life is strictly coincidental or whatever. So that's often what happens in those type of things.
Yeah.
So
it's the same. Sorry.
Go ahead.
It's the same thing when you protest the banks. You protest the banks, people will tell you to get a job. But then you protest against illegals, they call you a patriot. It's the same thing. You know, they pick and choose. They want to go after the poor, innocent people that, you know, are put in that position. But then the people who are fat cats and all that stuff, they don't want to support. And it's like people know the game.
Well, you know, the right wing worships money, and they love money, and they hate the poors. So they're never gonna criticize the people they want to be like, even though they'll never be like them. You know, it's just like, you know, the whole, like, why in the South did Southern, you know, poor white Southerners fight for the South, even though they would never own slaves in their lives? Because they one day hoped that they might still own slaves, even though they never would. But they said, well, what, maybe I might. So So that's why they did it, because they didn't want to lose the opportunity that one day they might do it. And I'm sure that the people who were this plantation owners would tell them, you might one day be just like me. And that's the same thing that I've been talking about in my toxic masculinity series. You know, you have these people who are the so-called alpha men, and they are telling these, you know, incel listeners of them, the men going their own way or whatever, they're trying to convince them that they could be just like them too. They never will be, but
right.
They need to convince them that they're going to be in these alphas. They can just be just like these alphas. If only they give them these $100 super chats and give them the attention, and they'll give them the attention back, because that's the way to do it. Because that's the only way they can stay relevant, is if these people believe that if they listen to them long enough, they'll one day be just like them and be able to get, you know, the high value women, because they'll one day be the high value man just like they are, even though they're really not. Even though at the end of the day, go ahead.
Sorry. I also go off, like, when it comes to Jesse Lee Peterson, Wild Bill for America, and Ann Coulter, I basically get on them, like, verbally go off on them, not threatening or anything like that. But, you know, if those three were honest, I wouldn't be saying anything negative to them on their Facebook page. But considering they're two-faced, I cannot handle that. It's like, how damn dare you? You try to use us to go against other people and then be against us when it comes to actual white supremacy. It's like, you don't get to do that. So if, like I said, if they were more honest, I wouldn't be saying negative things to them. I wouldn't be nasty towards them.
Right.
And also, I don't know if you heard of the history. I heard the history of police was not only racist, but it was also sexist and ageist and ableist. Like a lot of people, like a lot of times when you were a kid, I don't know when you were born, but when I found out that back in the old days, when a woman or a child was considered property under their husband, and the police wouldn't do anything about abuse.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, it used to be legal to rape your wife. It wasn't considered rape if you forced yourself on your wife. And that's the type of thing that those men like. I think I did cover this in one of my toxic masculinity videos where the guy's like, the guy, what's his face? Myron was like, if I come home and I want to have sex, and you need to have sex with me because that's your job. And I go do my job when you want me to do. So you have to do your job, which is to have sex with me. Like, it's,
yeah.
they view women as walking vaginas, and that's it. So,
yeah, they also,
hold on. I see what you said, Gibson Media. I'm going to play something that the Blog Talk Radio audience cannot hear in a second. That's gonna show you why you're wrong about the Civil War being fought. So I'm gonna get to your comment in a second, Gibson Media. Hold on. Once I finish up the conversation with my friend Khalil here. Okay, go ahead.
Also, like, even like with child abuse, I'm not against spanking, but I'm against putting bruises and welts and stuff. And like, if you watch Bastard Out of Carolina, I don't know if you've seen that. Like, the stepfather was really abusive, putting welts and bruises. I found out even back in the old days, when you had law enforcement, even child abuse was legal.
Right. Well, I mean, you used to be able to beat the crap out of your kids. I mean, you used to be able to absolutely do whatever you wanted. Now, my mom was a social worker when she was working. She's now retired, but she was a social worker before, and she would basically, you know, tell the people when they would discipline their kids with spanking and whatever. She was like, look, if you don't leave a bruise, I can't do anything about it. But if you leave a bruise, I can take action. And that's what she would say. She was, if you leave bruises, I can take action. So don't leave a bruise. And that's basically what she would end up telling them, because if there's no bruises, there's nothing actionable for me to do. And so,
sorry for cutting you off. That's what I was told back in those times. Police officers didn't do their job about child abuse, so basically they had to have federal laws.
I think I lost you, Khalil.
What I was saying is, back in those times, police didn't do anything about child abuse either, so they had to have put in federal laws I don't know if it was more in the North or the South.
I see. Elizabeth says the rule of thumb came from you weren't allowed to beat your wife with a stick that was bigger than your thumb. So as long as the stick was smaller than what your thumb was, it was okay to beat your wife with that stick. So yeah. Anywho, all right. Well, thank you very much, Khalil. I appreciate your call as always. Again, we'll be back on the air Monday. So we're going 2 days a week from now on for the most part. So you'll be able to call in more often. It'll be good. We'll get to hear from you twice as much. So I appreciate you as always, and you have a good rest of your day. All right, have a good one, man. All right, again, Blog Talk Radio audience, I apologize. You won't be able to hear this because this is going to be something that I'm going to be playing from YouTube. So let's switch. Let me pull this up. Let's mute it a second as the ad plays. Come on, let's get full screen. Come on. Why are you taking so long? Hold on. There we go. There's that. Pause. This is not work. Ugh. Why is this being so stupid? There we go. Okay. This is... Oh, that's the raw. We got infinity right there. We are going into infinity. I don't know why my computer does this sometimes. The alternate screen will... let's see. There we go. This is the only thing I ever share from Prager University. That's right. Prager University made this video. I know you're shocked as much as I am. I don't know how anybody could make the argument that the Civil War, that the secession was not fought about slavery. Ah! Read that. Listen to that. I mean, this is Prager freaking University. Prager freaking University. We don't need the closed captioning. Prager freaking University is saying this. Like... They are some of the most conservative site out there. And they are just dropping a truth bomb here when it comes to slavery and why the Civil War was fought. It is clearly because the South wanted to maintain its hold on its, as they said, peculiar institution of slavery. And who fired the first shot? Who fired the first shot, everyone? Class? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller, anyone? Now, I will remind you that there's no such thing as states' rights. States have powers. People have rights. There's no such thing as states' rights, but it's a colloquialism that's used, so we'll just allow them to just use it for this point. And, you know, this is my pedantry that I do use a lot in political speech when discussing the Constitution. Because there's no such thing as states' rights. People have rights. States have powers. But they're conservatives, and we'll continue. I'll get to that comment in a second, Gibson. Half slave and half free. I got that from Disney World. Well, DeSantis denies that, and other people who now want to retcon history deny that, but this was made before that, the changes in Florida and law and all that other BS, but let's continue. And there you go. The one video that I found ever in the entirety of my ever seeing Prager University videos that I will constantly use and refer to because it nails it right on the head. The Civil War was fought over slavery and slavery only. Period. End of story. I will absolutely appeal to them and should use them because you can't say I'm trying to use some sort of liberal biased website to try and back up my claims here, right? You can't say that I'm like going to MSNBC or some other site that, you know, confirms, you know, my cognitive biases or whatever. You can't say that I'm going to some, you know, something, some site that's going to be like, you know, on my side. No, this site is never on my side 99.9% of the time, but this video is absolutely right. Stop clock being right twice a day and all. I mean, I haven't found the second time that Prager University is right, but this video spot on 100% correctly states exactly why the Civil War is fought. Mic drop, end of story, done. Period. With a T. All right, so here we go. Let's roll back to see what I have to respond to now. Gibson Media says, Dan, this is a 6-minute video that outlines facts, but you can't share links here because you're not a mod. So did you email it to me? Maybe you emailed it to me. I don't know. Let's see. Why were Black Americans suffering for over 100 years after this war? Because just because the Civil War was over and slavery stopped, it doesn't mean that racism stopped. Because the same people who were still beaten in the war still existed. Like, if you've watched Star Wars, like, just because the Empire was beaten, it doesn't mean that the people who were in the Empire just disappeared. They continued to want to fight and maintain their power. The Moff still existed. You still had the admirals that were there. You know, to use the sci-fi example, you had there are people who still wanted to maintain their power, maintain their, and they found different ways to maintain that power. So they created Jim Crow laws. They created all sorts of different ways to, you know, continue their discriminate against Black folks. So the end of slavery wasn't the perfect end-all, be-all solution to make lives better for Black folks in this country. But that doesn't mean that the war wasn't fought over slavery, because clearly the war was fought over slavery because that's what the Southern states said that they were seceding for. They seceded specifically over slavery. Boom, ba doom, ba doom, ba boom. In the United States, states' rights, again, no such thing, have maintained the strong state governments are more consistent with the vision of Republican government put forward by the founding fathers. Of course, the Republican government put forward by the founding fathers also included slavery. So the government founded by the founding fathers included counting Black men as not being able to vote and counting Black men as 3/5 of a person. Daily News: states have taken the rights out of the people's rights. Well, yes, that's one of the reasons why I don't necessarily agree with the idea that local governments is always the best. That's why I believe that we need a the higher authority of the federal government to come down and tell the local governments to stop being stupid. When local governments act and take away and usurp people's rights, you need a higher government to come in and say, no, stop it, you're being stupid. No, stop it, you're circumventing people's rights. You're usurping people's individual rights and freedoms. That's why you need stronger, higher levels of government to come down and be like, no, bad. Swatting the dog on the nose with the newspaper or whatever, but not leaving a mark, because that's abuse. Coming full circle again. I just don't get, what don't I get? What's my email? You should have my email. I've given you my email. It's at Gmail. Liberal Dan Radio. Gmail. That's my email. It's always been my email. LiberalDanRadio@gmail.com. Anywho. So, let's take another sip because I'm thirsty. Rolling back to the topic of the show. Maybe we'll get back to the email conversation. So populism, back to Trump as being a populist. He's not a populist. He might spout populist rhetoric. He might be a faux populist. He might say things that make him seem like a populist. The other news, no, I don't want government to run my life. There's been many times on this podcast where I've specifically stated the exact opposite. It's conservatives that want government to run people's lives. Conservatives want government to tell people that they can't, what sexual things they can't do, what they can do with their own bodies, what they can or can't smoke or drink. Conservatives are the ones who want prohibition of substances. Conservatives are the ones who want to prohibit sex acts. Conservatives are the ones who want to prohibit gay marriage. Conservatives want to step in and prohibit consenting adults from being able to have consensual sex with each other. Conservatives use government to step in and stop them to do from all sorts of things. There's a local display here in New Orleans, in the New Orleans metropolitan area, that somebody created, and the guy is a conservative. The guy is a MAGA conservative, like totally. But he creates like very hardcore, over the top Halloween decorations, and this year is no different. And he has like a Jesus on a cross, but the Jesus is beheaded, and Satan is holding the beheaded Jesus or whatever. And all of the people in the neighborhood, in the conservative Bucktown neighborhood, are just all, I can't, this is terrible. And the woman on the news is like, I support free speech, but, and if you've watched Game of Thrones, I think it was Ned Stark who was quoted as saying, anything before the word but is a lie. So if you say, I support free speech, but, you don't support free speech. And these are a bunch of conservatives. And what did the conservatives do when they didn't like this display that was in this person's yard? They called code enforcement. What does that do? That is them calling government to tell this person what they can or cannot have in their yard. Conservatives are the people that are more likely to have neighborhood associations. They're the ones that want to run little neighborhood associations and say, this is what you can or this is what you can't have in your property. Little tiny little Nazi little associations that say you can't have this, you have to cut your grass this, but you can't have certain garbage cans, you can't paint your house a certain color. That little tiny little fascist hamlets. Gibson Media. Alexander Hamilton once called political parties the most fatal disease of popular government. Well, I mean, but they created a system that ultimately ends up with that defaults to having political parties. So how smart were they? All right, let's check the mail. Let's check my box to see what Gibson Media put in my box. Oh my. Sounds like Obama Green Police. I would disagree with that. State citizenship and introduction. That doesn't seem to me to. This is state citizenship and introduction. It doesn't seem to be anything about the Civil War. I'll open it up for a second. Or it's on mute, or it was on mute. That. This introductory video of the North Carolina American Republic explains state citizenship, covering the historical and legal background, the consequences of unlawful states, and how you can become a state citizen and be part of the movement to reestablish lawful states, a historical legal background, consequences of lawful states, how you can become a state citizen. All right, here's the deal. I will watch this outside of the show, and if I feel that it is relevant to the topic at hand, I will air it Monday. All right? So, well, it addresses the 14th Amendment, but that doesn't necessarily mean it addresses whether or not – that doesn't necessarily mean that it addresses the idea of whether or not the Civil War was fought over the idea of slavery or not. So we all know we disagree over the 14th Amendment. We all know that you think that the 14th Amendment was not constitutionally passed, and we're not having that debate. That's going to be ad nauseum. So I don't think we're ever going to reach a conclusion on that. I think you've made your point on that one. I've not seen anything in addition that's going to yet. I've not seen anything yet that's going to change my mind on that. So, again, I'll watch it after the show. I don't feel like subjecting the audience to the whole thing. If there's a clip that's relevant to the topic at hand, we'll play it on Monday if I can get to it. But I'm not going to play the whole thing for the audience at this point because I don't think the whole thing is relevant to what it is. Wes, why shouldn't we just let the South withdraw? Well, here's the thing. And it's a good question. I mean, I've made the argument on the show several times that if we want to just let the MAGA folks just have their own country, like give them the Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Utah, Kansas, Arkansas, Iowa, Oklahoma, give them that whole area. Let them have that whole area, maybe with the exception of maybe the areas that are currently reserved as reservations for the indigenous folks. Let them have that area. Let them call it their own country. Let them call it Trumplandia or dumb Fuckistan or whatever they want to call it. They can all move there. They can build a giant wall as big as they want to, even though no one's going to want to go there. They can install Donald Trump as supreme emperor for life. And then when the next round of some big virus hits and it wipes out everybody because nobody wants to do the responsible thing, we'll just be able to all move back there again in a couple years and everything will be over with. But, you know, I'm fine with that, if that's what they want to do. If they want to go form their own little country and out of those states, I'm fine with that. But email me when your podcast airs and let me know, and I'll come on your podcast as well and let me know what the subjects would be so I can prepare a little bit, and I'll be more than happy to do so. And I'll bring on Demonox and Yosh, and we'll form Voltron on the show as well. just have to prepare. I just have to make sure. I'll bring Voltron with me. Texas West, I don't know. I don't know if I want to give up Texas. Don't want to let Donald Trump's hands get too big because everything's bigger in Texas. But yeah, let them have all that area Tuesday at 7 p.m. See, that's why I figured you didn't call in yesterday, because that's when I had my show yesterday, was 7. How long does the show last on Tuesdays? What was I going to say? But yeah, like, why not just let the South secede, though, and let them go? Is because would it be morally responsible to let the South secede? Is it morally responsible if you think that the enslaved people are being treated unfairly? Is it responsible to just let the South secede and let the Confederate States of America continue to treat those people unfairly, if you believe that those people should instead be considered citizens of the United States of America? If you're calling, I don't recognize the area code. If you're calling, let me know in the chat on YouTube who it is that's calling. What's your area? Area code 815. In the YouTube chat, let me know who, youtube.com/liberaldanradio. If you're not listening on YouTube, let me know who you are, and so I can know who's calling. It's U.S. Okay, there you go. I didn't recognize the area code, Wes. What's going on, my buddy? How's it hanging?
Not a whole lot. I am just considering, you know, how could history have been changed in so many ways if so much had not happened, you know? What if
We had a show about that. I did a show about, like, the Liberal Dan Radio multiverse. Like, what if you would have changed something, like, let's say just one small thing had happened, like, what would the difference be? Yeah, the butterfly effect. What would the difference have been? Like, you know, I love alternate history books. Like, that's one of my favorite types of fiction is reading alternate history. Like, there's a whole bunch of Harry Turtledove books that he's one of my favorite authors, and he actually wrote one book where it was called Guns of the South, where there were time travelers that went back in time and armed the South with like machine guns or something, and enabled them to be able to win the Civil War just because, you know, they had better weaponry. And then there was another whole series of books where it wasn't based off of that story, but it was what would have happened if the South wouldn't have lost these plans that they really did lose, that the North were able to find these plans that were written on, like, cigars, and instead of the North finding them and being able to catch the South doing something, the South were like, ooh, it's a good thing we didn't get these lost. And then they smoked the cigars instead because they no longer needed the plans. And the South was able to then win. The South was able to retain their freedom. And then it goes on for, like, a series of, like, there was one book, and then there was a bunch of books afterwards, like maybe like 10, 12 different books, starting from How Few Remain. And it's interesting how he does it. Like, because even though there are things that were so different, he makes it seem like even though there are things that are different, there are things that still remain the same, but things happen in different parts of the world, even though same. Like, the communist revolution doesn't happen in Russia, it happens in the South. Different things happen in different areas, but other things happen completely differently as well. And so it's definitely a good read. And he's also very liberal. If you follow him on Twitter, he's definitely a very liberal person. And I was very surprised.
You're a liberal.
I was very surprised to see that somebody who wrote an alternate history about the South winning the Civil War was somebody that was so progressive. That was a refreshing thing to see. I guess it means that not somebody like who is a writer, like when I write things, I usually write things that have a dark ending. So it seems to me like he's the same way. Hey, I didn't see that Tim and Bill entered the channel. I think, hey, Tim. Hey, Bill. What's going on? All right. So continue, Wes.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Bill. Hey, Jolie. Hey,
Gibson
Media restoring our republic. I have no idea who you are. Tim
he's
Farrell.
Called into the show. You know, he's called into the show. He's the one that pisses everyone off, Wes.
Okay, Gibson Media. I forgive you for pissing me off. I don't even remember. Hey, Elizabeth, I love you so much. You are so sweet to me. It's all undeserved.
Anything else, Wes?
I don't know. We can get into it. It has to do with race. What if, you know, by now, you know what would have happened. The African population would have had to just by numbers taken over the South. If we had just set them free, the slaves would have rebelled by themselves. They did not need help. Harriet Tubman was a villain that the South used. You know, John Brown, they were hardly real. They were like mythology. Tipping a few, Bill. Yeah, I guess three is a few, so this is my third.
Wait, what? Repeat that again? I missed part of it.
2 days before Lincoln's inauguration as the 16th president.
Well, no, you're just reading what Gibson is saying. We don't need to read what Gibson is saying. What were you saying?
Okay, I'm saying that this is 2023.
Mm-hmm.
The Civil War was a long time ago. But if there was another nation, you know, did it include Texas? It might have taken Mexico by now, and Haiti would be its capital. You understand
maybe.
What I mean?
Maybe. There's some part of that. I think there is part of that where I think in those books, I think Cuba was part of the South, and the South took over some of Mexico. They bought some of the northern parts of Mexico from Mexico in order for them to have an outlet to the West and to the Pacific Ocean.
Yep, and then there's New Mexico and Arizona and California. How would they prefer to go back then? They might have liked being left alone because Mexico had no real government.
I don't know. It's an interesting topic of conversation, but I don't want to go too far into
it
the alternate history because I do
forever,
want to get back.
Like a Monopoly game.
I do want to get back to the. I do want to eventually get back to the whole strike thing, but. Gibson Media is on the phone for a second, so we'll entertain him for a second, but then I do want to get back to the topic.
I was a strike captain, if you ever want to hear about it. Okay, back to you, Dan. I love
all
you.
Right.
I'm signing off.
Have a go on, Wes.
I don't know how, but I will.
Bye. All right, let's see. All right, we're bringing you on for a second. We're not going to waste too much.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend... We're not going to spend
too
much
time. No,
if
you want to talk about the strike, would you like to talk about the strike? We can do that.
Sure. I mean, we can talk briefly about what you want to talk about here, but we can then talk about the strike.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. What I put inside the chat there is obviously very clear. You know, it's blaming the war on slavery was the way the Northern Court historians used the morality to cover up Lincoln's aggression and the war crimes of his generals, basically demonizing the enemy
with
moral
wait.
Language works
wait,
to the victim.
I'm going to cut you off a second. But who fired the first shot?
Well, that's according to history, what's written, then you have to say the South, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, but is there any evidence contrary to that that says that anybody else fired the first shot?
Well, we know with Andrew Jackson, when he was president, we almost went to war. I mean, the North and South almost went to war then, and you know, 30 years prior to that. So that was building up for quite some time, and it wasn't over slavery. That's not – I mean, yes, slavery became an issue during the war. Of course, it was a major issue, but it was not the sole reason why they walked out of the Congress. I forgot what number it was, 61, what, 61st Congress, I think, or 59th. But the reason why they abandoned their seats and walked out, it wasn't because of just slavery. I mean, you had the international bankers, you had that were funneling in money, playing with the tariffs on the South. I mean, there was many different things. The ports of the South were being blocked by the shipping. There were so many different issues that were going on at the time that were feeding itself through a 30-year period, even before Andrew Jackson even. So it was inevitable that they were going to have a divide between North and South. I mean, I'm not sticking up for the South saying they should have won, but don't get me wrong there. And I'm not saying slavery should have continued on. But what had happened was it was a good deception. They enslaved all of us through the 14th Amendment, through the Reconstruction Acts that were then pushed in 1871, the Organic Act, which changed the wording of the United States of America, and the United, you know, and changed a lot of words and important words, citizen and person, and you know, a lot of these words have meanings, you know. But this is a deep conversation. I know you don't want to get into too in depth about it now, but that was the reason mainly for the Civil War, was basically to turn the United States into a corporate nation, and that's what happened. D.C. became a corporation.
All right, let's talk about the strikes, since that's what I want to talk about. Workers and the strikes. So let's talk about the strike. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, I want to hear yours, please, if you don't mind. Let me hear yours first.
All right. Well, I mean, there's, you know, I was going to go into it simply because of the fact that, you know, I have some thought that there were some comments I made yesterday where I was, you know, I had some potential issues. Let me see if I can pull up the responses that were made to my video from yesterday, because I cut it. Because I was questioning the idea as to whether or not the employees should, you know, if 40% is a reasonable ask, if an increase of 40% of their current salary is a reasonable ask. And there is a union person who responded, who, and I don't know if the facts are 100% legit, and they said that the labor currently is 5% of the cost of an automobile build. So if you get a 40% increase in the cost of labor, it would only be 8% of the cars build. And when I did some research on...
There's four other, key demands here. They want four key demands.
Yeah, there's four. We'll get to that in a second. Right? But I was looking at other items that are built, other items that are produced, and what everyone says, what's a decent, you know, the cost of labor, what percentage should the labor percentage be of the gross overall cost of an item? If you sell an item, how much should the labor cost be of that? And I've saw numbers as maybe low as, you know, 10 to 15, almost 20% of the price of the item is what labor should cost. So if 40% brings them only up to 8%, and that's still much less than what many goods and services do, then maybe 40% is a reasonable ask. I'm not necessarily sold on the elimination of the tiered system, because I don't necessarily buy that somebody who is a new hire should be paid the same amount of money that somebody who's been working for 20, 30 years or whatever. Like, I'm for increasing wages, because if the auto workers did make sacrifices in order to make sure that during the lean years that the automakers didn't go out of business. And if you as a worker made sacrifices during the lean years, you absolutely should be rewarded during the fat years. And so, and if you're not, and if they're not going to do that, then I absolutely would strike if I was a worker too. Now, would I agree 100% with what they're striking for? I don't know. Cost of living protections, you know, yeah, I would absolutely, you know, if you're not adjusting wages to the cost of living, then, you know, yes, that's a reasonable ask, I believe. Whatchamacallit. There's the tiered system. I would love to have somebody who's a union person to come on and explain to me why somebody who is a six-month employee who was working at a job, who is doing labor for an automobile industry, why they should be getting paid the same amount of money as somebody who's been working 10 years. To me, if I'm working the job 10 years, I have more experience. I'm more reliable. I'm somebody who is, you know, put in, you know, I'm somebody who is probably more efficient than somebody who's been working the job for 6 months. So therefore, I potentially deserve more money. However, maybe there's an argument to be made on the other side, and I'm not considering it, and I'm always open-minded to hear the other side of the coin. So I'm not sold on the elimination of the tiered system, but I'm also not working in an industry, so I'm open to hearing that as well. And what's the fourth?
Well, I disagree with it. They're asking for a payback. Okay, they're asking for the payback for the loss of real income they suffered because of they didn't have a COLA clause on over the last several years, and that was by mm-hmm. their own fault alone. Okay, and then if they want future protection for future inflation, so that's fine if they want to put that on the table now, but they want now to be retroactive to when they didn't ask for it, when they got bailed out in 2007. That's wrong. Okay, I know they got what they wanted in 2007. They didn't put that in their contract in the negotiations. They were, you know, so that's blame that on the union, not the CEOs. That's not their fault.
Well, I mean, but they made a deal back in the day because the automakers were having issues. So therefore they made a negotiation to say, hey, we're willing to take some cuts in order to make sure that we all can keep our jobs. So if they're willing to do that in the short term, they should be able to re-come to the table. I don't think it's necessarily a matter of fault that they said, okay, well, we'll do this now, but we're going to come back. I think there was probably an understanding that at some point they were going to come back to the table and try and renegotiate a deal, especially if things get better and the company doesn't come back and say, hey, you know, okay, we're going to reward y'all now because y'all were awesome and y'all helped us out. So therefore we're going to reimburse you for helping us out. And they didn't do that. So therefore, the unions then have to come in and say, well, we want our share of the pie. Now, in my opinion, you know, instead of saying maybe a 40% cost adjustment or 40% raise in and of itself, I'd be like, look, maybe do 20% and throw in some profit sharing instead. Say, hey, you know, give us some profit sharing. With that, maybe it'll give us, you know, a little more money now, but maybe it'll give us, you know, so it'll be a little buffer.
Well, you know, companies are doing, you know, the research on that that shows the research shows that two-tier is harmful for the company and works and workers. You know, I mean, they did that with UPS and they found out that, you know, it's actually helping the company. So, you know, eliminating some of these tiers at UPS actually helped the UPS. So, and then maybe that's what they need to do here too. But one thing is though for certain is I don't like the government being involved consistently with these auto workers and being involved in these corporations. I just don't like that.
Are they really involved? Like, are they really like? I know the Biden administration is trying to help out in the negotiation, but I don't think they're like dictating anything at this point. I think they're just trying to help mediate.
Careful. I think that's something that everybody should keep an eye on. You know, I just don't like that because that leads right to fascism. You know.
Were you critical when Trump did it, when between the steel and the steelworks, steel mills and the steelworkers?
Yeah, I don't think that any you know, the form, any form of government should be involved in the and, you know, like you said, okay, if they're just, you know, sticking their nose and say trying to help them along, okay, fine. But when once they start getting taxpayer money invested into these companies and they start making political decisions and influencing them, kind of like National Socialism, then we're in trouble. You know, and that's what I'm afraid of.
Well, with steel, for example, I mean, if we're spending taxpayer money to buy steel because we need steel to build things like, you know, warships or something, I mean, there's something to be said about wanting to make sure that we have a sturdy steel thing. That doesn't mean that we need to take over steel. I'm not saying we should take over the steel industry or whatever, but that there's an interest there to make sure that the steel industry is solid. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that we need to control it. The government needs to control it in and of itself, but there's an incentive there for government to make sure that it's running so that we can build things that need to be built.
What do you know about them the company wanting to get rid of the 18 facilities? I think it's what, 18 facilities they want to close and sell 18 facilities, including assembly plants and parts depots. That's according to the union. Is that true, or do you know anything about that?
For the automakers?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
If the automakers want to close 18 facilities? Let's
see. Yeah.
UA strikes, Stellantis could close 18 facilities under the deal, blah, 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 blah. Here are the full details. Stellantis' latest offer to United Auto Workers could lead to a closure of 18 facilities, but also repurpose an idled vehicle assembly plant in Illinois. Proposal was made before the start of the UAW strikes against Stellantis, Ford, and GM. Plans would likely affect thousands of UAW members, shrink the automaker's northern footprint, and create new modern plants and BARTs and distribution network. So close U.S. facilities, also bring new investments, repurpose idled facility plant in Illinois. It would shrink the North American footprint, create new modernized parts and distribution network, blah, 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 blah. So basically they're threatening that maybe they would close some things and maybe open some plants and maybe in Mexico. I don't know.
That's big. You just said a key word right there. Anytime we send jobs, you know?
Well, one of the things is it's like, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think that, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I support some sort of tariffs, because if businesses want to outsource to, you know, to save money on labor and then want to ship those items back into the country because they want to circumvent, you know, and get cheap labor to the detriment of the American worker, then there should be a cost to that if they want to do that.
That's right. That's right.
So you
supported Trump. Well, you supported Trump then when he wanted the tariffs then, right?
Well, I mean, if that's what Trump wanted to do in that particular thing, then I would agree on that particular thing. I said there were particular things that I agreed with Trump. And I've said that before in the podcast when Trump proposed that you should be able to try particular medicines under certain circumstances. I agreed with that when Trump, it was a small program, but when he lowered the price of, I think, insulin and whatever in certain clinics, I mean,
well,
that
that's huge
fine.
That we agree on that about the jobs, because that's very important to the American people, everybody. It doesn't matter you're Republican or Democrat. Jobs are very important. And when you want to ship jobs out of this country, then you're absolutely correct. Put a tariff on the product. You know, if they want to ship it back in, you know, at our cost, you know? So that's very important.
Right. So I think that is, let's see, whatever. Aquatic, be careful, Dan, you sound like Trump. I don't sound like Trump yet. In order for me to sound like Trump, I'd have to be like, I think that if a company wants to ship jobs overseas, that we need to put a tariff if they want to ship that product back across the American borders. Then I'd be sounding like Trump. Hey, Cynthia from Texas,
now,
how's it going?
You shouldn't be taking, now, you see, that's dead wrong. The audience should not be criticizing anyone if they're agreeing upon something that's going to affect all Americans. You know?
Aquatic is agrees with you, I think, more than the majority of my audience. So
that's good.
So I think he's more, Aquatic is more center, maybe more centrist. I don't know if he's more right wing, but he's more Aquatic is more center. I don't know if Aquatic is. Am I using your right pronouns, Aquatic? Are you a dude? I might be getting your gender wrong. I'm not sure. It's hard to tell with usernames. But anyway. So, but no, I mean, even before Trump was president, I've long supported the idea that if corporations want to save money by shipping jobs overseas and then they want to then sell those products back in the country, that there should be a cost to that and they should have to pay tariffs. So, that's been the case long before Trump. So I would then argue Trump agrees with me, not that I agree with Trump.
Well, so, and, not to get off subject, but three things. Just one, maybe your audience don't know, the Clorox wipes. There's going to be a shortage of those now across the country because of the so-called cyber attack. So look for your grocery store shelves to be empty for months on end with these Clorox wipes. Another, it's just idiotic. I just don't understand why. You know, what that has to do with Clorox wipes, but that's just one of the big things out there. And then Biden is creating...
Is it just Clorox wipes? Like, can you get Lysol wipes, or is it all wipes?
It's going to be all wipes. Yeah, any type of disinfectant wipes. Yeah.
So go to... maybe I'll check Costco this weekend and stock up. It'll be like the toilet paper during COVID all over again.
But Biden is creating an office focused on gun violence prevention. I mean, you know, I think this is just a waste. Bureaucrat. Here we are, lobbyists and bureaucrats, special interest groups, again, attacking the Second Amendment when this is not the problem. That's not the problem we should be looking at when it comes to gun violence. It's more or less, and then they want to, tax these gun manufacturers, make people buy insurance for their... I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Any type of attack on the Second Amendment is unconstitutional. Shall not be infringed. What does anyone understand about that? I don't know.
Well, I mean, even Scalia said that the Second Amendment does not mean that there's an unlimited right, and it doesn't mean that, you know, that you can own anything you want to, and that there could be regulations on it. And Scalia, I would argue, is probably one of the most staunch believers in the Second Amendment, and he said that in the Heller versus DC ruling or whatever. Let me look at this NPR thing. The new White House Office on Gun Violence Prevention. Now, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong in and of itself with preventing gun violence. Now, of course, there's nothing in and of itself wrong with being a patriot, but the Patriot Act is a bad thing. So just because something is a gun violent, you know, so obviously just because something is named something doesn't mean that that's exactly what it's going to do. Let's see. New office is expected to be led by so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. What is it? There's been a paradigm shift during the midterm elections. President called for common sense regulations. Biden says willing to act unilaterally on issues, blah, 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 blah. Not able to object to public to shift an opinion. So that NPR article told me nothing about what the office is going to do. So,
well, I'm just worried about it anytime they come up with anything that has to do with the Second Amendment, because I think it should just be left alone. The founders were very clear. The Constitution guarantees that, you know, again, we always put this, the Constitution guarantees that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A plain reading of the Second Amendment ought to be enough to stop nearly all federal gun laws right then and there. You know, but over the past century, courts, scholars have watered down the Bill of Rights with convoluted arguments that contradict the overwhelming historical evidence available today. If we go back and read what the founders said, even in the Federalist Papers, anything that has to do with arms and guns. Now, I just don't know how could this be any type of disagreement between Republican, Democrat, or any American that comes in. Because if you look at any dictator throughout the history of the world, first thing they always did was ban guns. Venezuela, banned guns. Hitler, banned guns. Mao, banned guns. I mean, you know, so Stalin, banned guns. And look what happened. So, you know,
I would love to be able to. This is a sci-fi thought, so it's not realistic. But I would love to be able to, like to right before Thomas Jefferson died on his deathbed, like when if he was alone, to be able to grab him when he was alone, to pull him forward into the future and be able to just have a conversation with him and be like, look, dude, this is the state of our country as it is now, and just ask him his opinion on all sorts of things. Like, you know, tell him about, like, this is the type of guns that we have now. What would you say about this? And what would you say about, you know, people being able to own these sort of guns? What do you think about this type of laws? Just to see what he would say and what they meant specifically about the words that were written. Because I think if I wrote that sentence in an English class, I think I would fail because it's a horribly written sentence.
Evidence to be found in the Second Amendment itself. First, there are no except clauses in the text, right? It simply says the right to bear arms shall not be infringed.
It doesn't say own. It doesn't say buy. It just says bear. And it says militia.
Okay, well, let's look at all the text. The first reference is militias. In the period in which the Bill of Rights was passed, as well throughout the entire history of the American colonies, militias were composed of individual citizens and a given community who owned guns, farmers, blacksmiths, tradesmen, etc. In the 18th century, militias could not have existed without individual gun rights. That's just a fact.
Okay. I mean, I think that – but if the militias – Could the militias have, you could have had a centralized location where the militias could have had the guns and they could have gone and gotten the guns. I don't know. I mean, there's many different ways where you could have had a militia. So I don't necessarily off the top of my head. And look, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't necessarily disagree with the idea that law-abiding citizens should be stopped from owning a gun. I don't have a problem with people who, you know, are law-abiding citizens from owning, you know, if you want to go get a gun, fine, go get a gun. But I think there should be universal background checks. I don't think there should be any way that you should be able to obtain ownership of a gun that does not include a background check. And I think all transfers of gun ownership from one person to another should require a background check. And I think that would stop some of the gun violence. That wouldn't stop all.
Well,
it would stop some.
Yeah.
I think that's
the father of the Constitution, you know, he wrote in the Federalist Papers that being armed is an advantage that the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation. You know, I mean, it's just that we are allowed to own guns.
Yeah, but Madison also didn't have a government that had, you know, A-10 warthogs with depleted uranium-tipped shells and Are you typically a textualist when it comes to laws?
No, I mean, if we define that. Give me your version of that.
Should laws be interpreted as written, or should laws be interpreted as the authors intended them to be written? Like when people say what do you think about the term legislative intent? When people talk about a law when people talk about legislative intent, do you say that is irrelevant, that we should interpret laws as written, or is legislative intent something that should be taken into consideration?
No, it should be as it is written. It means what it says what it means.
So if law should be taken as written and legislative intent is meaningless, then the Federalist Papers are not something that should be – oh, crap. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, you can hear me, but the stream. You can hear me, but the stream to YouTube just got cut off and reconnected itself. So we have to.
Oh boy.
We have to start over for a second. I don't know what the last thing that the people heard on the stream, because OBS connected and then reconnected. So
gotcha,
we're gonna
gotcha.
Rewind. So when we last reconnected to YouTube, Gibson Media said that he believes in legislative, doesn't believe in legislative intent, that he believes that we should read the laws as written. And my point that I was making was that if we believe that laws should be interpreted as written and we shouldn't take into consideration legislative intent, then we should not be referring to the Federalist Papers, because all the Federalist Papers does is point out legislative intent, that if they wanted the words to be in the Constitution, they would have included the words in the Constitution and not written them in the Federalist Papers. So that's one of my issues with the Federalist Papers, and people who often point to them are often also people who will reject the argument of legislative intent. See my point?
Well, let me ask you this question. And why wasn't the first gun control law, it wasn't passed until 1934, until Franklin Roosevelt? You know, and no, that was the first gun control that was in restriction that was ever put on the American citizen. Why? You know, if that's what, you know, because we know what's happened since, you know, look what happened during the 30s, Roosevelt's term. That's when socialism and government, the nanny state, basically really went into full gear. You know, Social Security Act, everything, the Emergency Powers Act. I mean, and that's when we became dangerous. It became very dangerous to where our liberties became eroded very quickly after that. I mean, it's like a steamroller, and it confiscated gold. You know, I mean, it's just many things happened during that time, and it's just, and they started with the guns, you know, always guns, disarm the people. I think it's just dangerous, very dangerous. People have to be armed to protect themselves against a tyrannical, because, you know, control. What do people always want to do? They want to control the people. You know, we're free in America. We're free. Don't do no harm. If we hurt somebody, then we pay the consequences. We'd be held accountable. You know, it's common sense, common law.
I would put two things there. First thing is that I just did a quick search on it, and a lot of the articles that are talking about it say that it's the first major U.S. gun law, so I don't know if there were minor gun laws that were passed prior to that. Let's see. But there may have been other laws that were minor gun laws, but it was the first major gun law that was passed, so I don't know what that means. However, you know, what is the cause? Is the cause because there was an overreaching federal government trying to harm people, or was it because we now have a situation where we've moved beyond muskets and single shot weapons that the founders only had access to, and now we have access to machine guns and other various implements of destruction that were not available to the founders, then when the founders could not consider such things or might not have been able to consider such things. And as such, the government was like, well, maybe part of regulating the militia well includes not allowing the militia to have a machine gun.
Well, what's the purpose, again, of the Second Amendment? It's not hunting and fishing. It's because it's tyranny, the government. The government should fear the people, not the people fear the government. And, you know, I mean, it's written over and over again, many quotes, and you say you don't like to quote Federalist Papers. Well, let's just stick to the Constitution then. Shall not be infringed. You know, but we have a First Amendment. So we talk things out, and we use our grievances. We grievance through our voices, and the first, that's why the First Amendment is so very important. And then the Second Amendment backs that up. That's why they went to the Second Amendment guns second. You know, obviously they felt very strongly about it. They didn't put guns on the 14th or the 13th or 10th, right? It was number two. So obviously it was very important to them to make sure that we were able to protect ourselves against a tyrannical government if that time ever came. And I would want that. I mean, yeah, we have to. I understand what you're saying, where people are not as responsible, or the lack of accountability erodes away. I get all that. And we didn't have missiles back then. Okay, you know, where we couldn't push a button and kill somebody in another country. Okay, I get all that. But at the same time, we're talking about in our own backyard. We shouldn't be involved in foreign affairs like we are today. Anyway, that's totally unconstitutional. What did George Washington say? Friends with all, alliances with none. Right. So, you know, we've moved so far away. I was a vivid supporter of Ron Paul. I don't know what you think of Ron Paul. I believe Ron Paul, if he was elected in 08, a lot of the problems we face today would have been cleared up miraculously. I mean, he was a genius. His Austrian economics values, the way the economy, auditing the Federal Reserve was brilliant. you know, he had a lot of great things, Ron Paul. It's just a shame that he didn't get a – well, I think they were screwing with the votes back then, you know, because I don't know how he lost because everyone I know voted for him. But I don't know what your thoughts are on Ron Paul.
Well,
I never asked you that, but
that's – I mean, my joke about Ron Paul is he's the only old man I know that shakes his fist and tells people to get out of other people's – get out of other people's yards. But the I don't know. Like, I mean, if the founders didn't feel like we weren't supposed to, you know, make alliances with anybody, then they wouldn't have given us the authority to make treaties. Like, to me, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I understand. I think there's a good discussion. I want just to get you. I'll let you go here soon. I get you on my podcast. You bring a couple people. I've got a guy that used to be a liberal. I mean, this guy was a diehard liberal for many, many years, and he's a conservative now. This guy's a historical scholar. I'll have him on there. It'd be a good discussion. You bring a couple of your liberal friends and talk about Trump. I mean, we can stick to a certain couple subjects so we're not all around the table. I mean, I'll let you even pick the subjects if you want to discuss, but I'll have my ammunition and my people there, and I think it'll be a good discussion on my platform, because I brought you up your name a few times, actually, because I know a couple people in the chat were saying, where'd you promote him at? I've been talking about Dan a few times on my show and talked about calling into this platform, so they'll know you when you come on.
Cool. Well, all right. And I mean, I'm happy to do so. I think it'll be a good time, and look, you know, again, I was talking to somebody. I was talking to the person who should have been the head of the Louisiana Democratic Party this evening, but wasn't, and because of silliness. and we were having a conversation, and I was like, you know, look, some of the people in my chat often get frustrated because I openly talk to conservatives. And I'm like, well, because we, you know, I like to, you know, have the debate. And sometimes at the end of the day, you know, I think, you know, when we come to an agreement on things, and I think sometimes one or twice, I think I've even maybe even changed your mind on something, or at least made you think about
at least made you think about
something differently than maybe you thought about it, because I've brought up a point that you've not thought about. And so, you know, I think that's one of the ways that we perhaps eventually heal the divide in this nation.
Thank
you know,
you.
I joke around.
Yes.
I joke around about the, you know, the moving. If y'all want to move to those states and form dumb Pakistan, you know, that's my joke, and that's the joke I make. And it's you know,
that's
it's all
fine,
well and good.
But you know what? You make for good podcasting. You make for good podcasting and a good show when you do have an alternative viewpoint. There's nothing wrong with having your guest. You do your thing. That's fine. I do mine over there. But when you have a different viewpoint and you can have a discussion without arguing and yelling at each other, I think it makes for good ratings and good listenership also.
So, yeah, and you know, it the only thing that's frustrating to me is just I haven't hit 1,000 subscribers yet, and I don't know why.
We'll get you there.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully the move to 2 days a week is going to help get that there. So, but anyway,
right,
so yeah, let me let you go, because I'm probably going
to
move on. Oh, my pleasure. You have a good one, and I'm going to move on to my unraveling things next. But you have a good night, and we will work on coming on. I'm gonna talk to Yosh and Demonox, and we're gonna see about getting the three of us to find a Tuesday to get us to all come on. I think that would be a good show to form Voltron on your show, as we call it. So you could even call it that. The Liberal Dan forms Voltron on the Gibson Media podcast. So I think did he hang up? I think he hung up. Okay, so there you go. So cool, that'll be fun. And I know Aaron is not the biggest fan of Gibson Media, but I think if I form Voltron, we might even get Aaron to come in and listen. So, anywho, let me take a sip of water real quick. I guess Brian Clark from the comments wasn't able to call in, but I think we were able to talk a little bit about. Yes. Is that Wes again?
Yeah.
Hello. What's up, Wes?
How you doing?
Good.
Are
How you doing?
Are you saying I'm not controversial enough?
You're plenty controversial, Les. You were
playing with that last guy.
I'm not playing with him. I'm just saying you have your own ways of bringing controversy to the show. That's all unique to you, Les. You have your own balls, buddy.
Throw me a hard ball. Tell me where I'm going wrong.
You're not going wrong. You're you, and I wouldn't have you any other way.
No, I'm right, and I'm on the right track, and I'm a genius.
And you're on the right track, and
Voltron.
I would not want to derail you. Yes,
don't derail me.
No, don't
yuck
derail
my yum.
Not. Don't want to yuck your yum.
No, I heard
Bicycle
a good
Mike,
one.
Love Fest.
But
yes. I was about to start singing.
I can't remember how to say it.
Yes.
Don't harsh my yum. Don't yuck my mellow. I think that's right. Or maybe it's something.
Mix your metaphors, yes. I was going to say, I don't know if Cynthia from Texas is still listening. I don't know if Cynthia from Texas is still listening, but as I was about to start singing Can You Feel the Love Tonight, I was reminded that I didn't start making my list of parody songs, Disney parody songs, to that Bobo the Clown could have started.
That Bobo the Clown will really bring you strikes.
Bobo the Clown, not if I sing it poorly. Bobo the Clown.
Disney, oh man, I was already saying
that Bubba the Clown, that I was going to make Disney parody songs relating to Bubba the Clown and her activities at the theater. If she would have went to a Disney theme type thing, there could have been like, can you feel the crotch tonight?
Nerves of steel.
So.
Hey, Mike.
Anywho,
we love you back, buddy.
So I'll have to think of some more ideas of Bobo the Clown, dirty Disney parodies for Bobo the Clown and her debaucherous theater activities. You ain't never had a friend in, or you've got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
That brings a whole new meaning of you got a friend in me.
Did I tell everybody enough times, most of you guys already know, I am a grand uncle.
Brand new grand uncle?
For the first time in my life, I have a nephew whose wife just had a baby. And she is so pretty. She's just tiny. 7 pounds, 7 ounces.
Very cool.
She cleans up pretty nice. You know, she's got dark blue eyes, purple Liz Taylor eyes. And I love her already. I've never met her.
Very, very cool. It's always great. I love babies. I it doesn't look like any more babies are in the cards for me and my wife, but who knows when my kids might have some. I don't know.
You are good enough. I like your pictures. We all are not privy to them, and I'm not going to give away any addresses, but I so like seeing them, and they remind me of so many friends that are similar. Just out
anyway.
There being fun and having fun and being happy. Thanks for showing us that, even though it might be all just a sham.
I'm so bad.
No, you're having a wonderful life.
Yes, it is a very good life. It was very good. Like on a conversation I was having on some other thread, somebody else commented on it. It was basically like, if this comment is representative of your marriage, that you guys have relationship goals. I was like, yep, pretty much. So Anywho, let me let you go, Wes, because I'm gonna make I'm gonna quickly come up with some of these song parodies, and then we're gonna do
Bye, Elizabeth.
All right,
bye,
Wes. Have a good one.
Media restoring
we'll be back
our
in the
republic.
Chat.
Cynthia, bye bye.
All right, so
let's see.
Oh, we muted. We put Wes on hold. All right. Disney songs that we could use for Bobo the Clown. Hakuna Matatas. Matatas. Hakuna Matatas. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matatas. Let's see. How far I'll go. We saw how far she'll go in the theater, at least. Will Kiss the Girl work? I don't know. Maybe Kiss the Girl would work. Or did Can You Feel the Love Tonight? We can't do Let It Go because she didn't let it go. Or maybe they did do. Maybe the theater said Let It Go. Trying to think what else, trying to find some other, just looking at all the Disney songs that could be, that we could use. This is including a bunch of the Disney songs that are not in, like, cartoon movies. What's up, Kimchi? How's it going? I believe for this playlist I may do, or for this reaction times, what I might do is I might do shorts. Like I might do reactions to shorts and make them shorts so that I could you're welcome, Elizabeth. You're not a loser, Bicycle Mike. But you don't have to have children to like Disney. I mean, before we had children, we went to Disney. I proposed at Disney before we had any kids. So, the top 50 most listened to Disney songs in, let's see. We don't talk about Boo and Bruno. We don't talk about Bobo, no, no, no. We don't talk about Bobo. So. I'm not quite yet at the point where I want to start making dirty parodies related specifically to Bobo the Clown, although I do have a couple of dirty Disney parodies that I've made, at least one dirty Disney parody that I've made. But we're not going to sing them directly on the podcast or whatever. How did I not think of this one? The best one for Lauren Boebert. Hi-ho! Sorry. No slut shaming on Liberal Dan Radio. let's see. Unzip Your Doodah. Would that be one? You're going to Kiss the Girl? Would that be one? What else? I don't know. I'm having too much fun with this. All right, Elizabeth. Have a good one. I appreciate you. Bobo selling popcorn baskets with a rabbit hole in the bottom. Yeah, I saw that picture. Yeah. She is a special one indeed. It's just sheer hypocrisy that they won't, that they're not going to do anything about it. But if it was a Democrat, they would absolutely be jumping down and jumping up and down and screaming and calling her all sorts of names and absolutely just be calling for her to resign. How dare she be doing such horrible, filthy things in the middle of a theater and getting felt up and blah, blah, blah. So, all right, let's find some shorts. Because we're gonna do shorts, and we're gonna make short response videos to make some short response videos. Because maybe making short response videos will make us more likely to get more views too. Because we're gonna record short response videos and upload them. So let's see. So let's copy paste. Ah, this is, so we're getting, this is muted. Hold on. Ah. There we go. But for some reason, this is paused. Let's refresh. Okay. Unzip my dee-doo-dah, something like that, yeah. So, all right, let's switch back to the alternate scene. And is there a way to make this better for the... I love how this channel version of it has her there. Oh, no, that's weird. I don't know why that's being like that. Now we're doing, I don't know why this changed again. That's weird how the, there we go. So I want to basically make it so that I can, no, I don't want to move that. I want to move this so that I can maybe kind of put myself here so I can edit myself. Is there a way to make this larger in a short? I don't think there is. So I'm going to put myself there, and then maybe put the buy me a coffee here, and that way I can make it into a better short. And that way, there you go. That looks good. Hey, guys, the need Stormy Daniels to make a movie about what happens next when you say bubba, bubba, bubba in a dark credit theater. Boboing for apples? I don't know. Is that it? So I think I'll just record everything and then just chop it up afterwards and make it that way. All right, so we can delete that since I'm already going to... All right, so we can unmute it now, and then we're gonna start recording, and then we'll refresh it so it'll start playing immediately because for some reason it's being stupid. Bicycle Mike, do you think she and Ted Cruz did it? I may very well. I don't know. I mean, it's supposedly, if it's correct that she was doing, if she allegedly did escorting like they claim she did, then maybe. And look, I don't care if she escorted. That's not a big deal for me. If she escorted, I think that should be legal. I think she should be able to do what she wants. I think sex work is real work. I think she should be able to make a living if that's what she wants to do. I think it's hypocritical for the Republicans to be like, oh, let's take this escort and turn her into a congresswoman, and then criticize, you know, the person running in Virginia for her doing her own form of sex work and then not wanting her to run for office. But, you know, if, you know, I'm not going to judge her for doing sex work. I'm going to judge her for her hypocrisy, but I'm not going to judge her for doing sex work. That's the thing. So, Bicycle Mike, if I could make money as a sex worker, I would have. You know, it's never too late. There's always a kink for something, right? There's always somebody with a fetish for something that you have that you could bring to the world. A whole new world. Don't get me, Disney. Because this one is these modern women. These modern women aren't saying. I guess I should start recording and say. So this one is these modern women are insane. So let's refresh the video and we will see what's being said. It's going to take forever now to reload, obviously. No. See, here's the thing. If the man is working, again, they are talking about, you know, heteronormative monogamous relationships. But if the man is working 8 hours and the wife is at home doing housework for 8 hours, they're both working for 8 hours. So when both are then home at night and more work needs to be done, then they both still have to share the remainder of the housework that needs to be done. These people are under some impression that housework is not real work. So if you're doing 8 hours of work at the office and she's doing 8 hours of housework at home, and there's still more work that needs to be done, you contribute to the work when you get home. She's not your slave, dude. Now, look, and that's an okay point. If part of the work that he's doing around the house is mowing the lawn, and that is work, and that's fine. If he's doing things around the house like mowing the lawn and other things, then that's fine. But there needs to be an equitable share of the labor of the household work. That includes other things that are being done. And if you're not doing an equitable share of the work to provide for the household, then you're not having an equal partnership. But as we've established on this channel, in these videos that we respond to, they don't want partnerships. They don't want equitable shares. They want to be the quote alpha, and they want women who are subservient, who are going to be slaves to them. No, again, it doesn't necessarily, if the woman is taking care of the kids all day and is, you know, doing laundry and cleaning the house, and there's, you know, there are things that have to be done all day, and if at the end of the, and we're going out, going shopping, you know, doing all of the things that need to be done for household stuff, while the man is out working, if you're having this sort of, you know, relationship or whatever, then that sort of dichotomy there. And if then there's still more work that needs to be done, guess what? You don't get to come home and say, well, I worked 8 hours today, so you too bad, you need to do more work while I sit here and drink a beer. No. If there's more work that needs to be done, guess what? You get to do more work. Now, does that mean that I do 8 hours of work and I, you know, and I want to do it. No, I don't necessarily want to do it, but sometimes you got to. And sometimes, yeah, look, I could look around this room right now and say there's work that needs to be done, but I'm not going to sit here and blame anybody else but myself for it. Well, I mean, I could look at the mess that my kids caused and blame my kids for leaving the mess, and that's a whole different story. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, I work 8 hours and my wife works four, and therefore, and my wife does, you know, some 4 hours of housework, and therefore, you know, but I worked 8 hours, and therefore my wife needs to do more housework afterwards. No, every housework is work. It's the idea that they're not doing work for those 8 hours while you're working is absurd. And that's part, again, of this whole toxic masculinity idea, that the idea that they're not doing work the whole 8 hours that they think that, you know, it's a whole married with children idea that somehow their wives are at home watching Oprah and eating bonbons all day, that they're not working all day. They're absolutely working all day if they're being stay-at-home parents. It's a bizarre idea. It's a bizarre concept. All right, so that's the first video. So let's move on to the next one. This dude thinks he could make other people's relationship guidelines in the midst of crying about Chad. Yeah. Kimchi, when you have kids, there's no sitting on the couch eating bonbons. You're lucky. Wait, Kimchi, did you say sitting on the couch eating bonbons before I mentioned the married with children sitting on the couch eating bonbons? Because I swear I did not see your comment when I made my bonbons comment. I was looking straight this way. I did not see your bonbons comment when looking at the thing. I completely didn't see your bonbons comment. We're on the same wavelength. It's awesome. But yeah, exactly. You're right. And I'm going to say you're right because, you know, obviously you agree with me. Hilarious. It's great that we agreed on that. But yeah, again, there's no, you're not, you don't have Peggy Bundy. You know, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're working all day taking care of your kids because you're working all day taking care of your kids. Housework is work. Next video. I hope one of these are Pick Me Pearl. All right, here comes fat shaming. Lizzo's not a 10. To me, that's the truth. Well, okay, fine. To you, you're not attracted to Lizzo. To you, Lizzo's not a 10. That's fine. You are free to not be attracted to Lizzo. There are other people who are going to look at Lizzo and think that she's a goddess because to them, Lizzo is a 10. To them, you know, her size is irrelevant to her beauty. I think Lizzo is a goddess. I think Lizzo is immensely beautiful. I think she's very attractive. I don't look at, you know, size as being a detriment to somebody's looks. You do. And now, and here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that a lot of these men do really think that weight is something that takes away from somebody's looks. I think that a lot of these guys, especially some of these guys who watch and listen to this podcast, would look at Lizzo and they would say, I really think that Lizzo is attractive, but I'm too embarrassed to say that I think Lizzo is attractive because I don't want these guys to make fun of me for being attracted to somebody like Lizzo because that's not what society says that I should be attracted to. But I'll say it. I think Lizzo's hot. I think Lizzo is a very attractive woman, not just because she's physically attractive, but because she's very talented. And, you know, she is very confident and she carries herself well and she brings it. And she has, to me, she's a total package. And, you know, anybody I think would be lucky to have a Lizzo in their life. But, you know, again, if he legitimately is not attracted to Lizzo, that he can't control that. And that's fine. You're not required to be attracted to anybody who's overweight. Nobody's required to be attracted to me because I'm overweight. And that's fine if you're not. But, I mean, you don't have to be mean about it. And you shouldn't be mean about it. You could just be plain, look, you could just say, I'm not attracted to this person. You're not required to be that. to be attracted to anybody you're not attracted to. It's fine. Your tastes are your tastes, and nobody should guilt you into liking anybody that you're not attracted to. But nobody should guilt you to not being attracted to who you are attracted to either. But that's what toxic masculinity does. Toxic masculinity guilts people into away from dating people who they would normally be attracted to, because they make you think that you're somehow a lesser of a person because you are attracted to somebody who doesn't meet society's ideals. You can be a 10 and be obese, because what a 10 is subjective. It's not objective, because again, what a 10 is can differ in people's minds, because there's no, what's the societal standards of what a 10 is BS, because who people find attractive is completely different in other people, in everybody's different mind. I could look at somebody and be like, damn, that person's hot. And you might look at a person and be like, are you kidding me? And that's fine, because people are allowed to be attracted to different people, and that's totally cool. They say, like, whatever, but, I mean, she's having a problem, I guess, standing up to him, and he's like, haha, I got her. But, you know, I don't know if she's having an issue articulating this point, or maybe she's embarrassed at trying to make the point, but, look, I'll make the point. It's subjective. It's not an objective thing. And that is a good point. There are different cultures that find different things attractive. But even culturally, there are culturally things that still, even if an overwhelming culture finds certain things attractive, there are people within that culture that might rebel and say, look, my culture says that these things are attractive, but I personally disagree and I find other things attractive. And that's fine too, because the culture shouldn't define what's attractive. You get to define what you find attractive, and no culture should be able to tell you that you're wrong for being attractive to who you're attracted to. There used to be situations where obesity was viewed as attractive. You look at art from ages ago, and obesity was viewed as being absolutely attractive. You can look at old art and see that obesity, there are people who are obese, and they were viewed as being beautiful, being specimens of beauty. Now we look at people as being, you know, toned and, you know, thin physique or whatever, or muscular tones or whatever. Those now that's viewed as being the societal ideal, but that doesn't mean that everybody has to agree with that. And again, why are we allowing society to define what is attractive and what isn't? It should be up to the individual to say, hey, I'm attracted to that and I'm not. It's not even up to the individual. I have no control over what I find attractive and what I don't find attractive. The only thing that I have control over is whether or not I allow society to dictate if I'm attracted to somebody or not, or if I'm going to act on that attraction, if I'm going to allow society to make me be embarrassed about it or not. And I'm going to say no. Society's not going to dictate to me whether or not I'm going to be embarrassed over whether or not I'm attracted to a Lizzo or not. Because I'll say it again. I think Lizzo is an attractive woman. Too bad if you don't think so. That's fine by me. You're free to not think that she's attractive. But I'm telling you, there's a bunch of you, that your audience, who is secretly thinking to themselves that Lizzo is really attractive, but they're too embarrassed to say it because they don't want to be mocked by the so-called alphas. So there you go. Bicycle Mike, Rubenesque. Exactly. Somebody says too many tattoos, and that's fine. Some people might not be attracted to somebody who has, quote, too many tattoos. Other people might look at some – I was going to bring up some people with tattoos. Some people might say, That's a lot of tattoos. That's a turnoff for me. I don't like that for some reason. Other people might look at somebody and say, that's too many tattoos. But that's a lot of things. Those tattoos are awesome. It's really hot. But some people might say, that's a lot of tattoos, and I'm attracted to that person, but I wouldn't want to date that person because what would society think? What would society think about that? Right? All right, I'm gonna stop that video now because I don't want to make it too big. Let's then. Oh, I have a Rosie with me. Is Rosie gonna let me put you on camera? Hey, no, Rosie's not gonna let me put her on camera. Hedley Lamarr. Hedley. Hey. This is whatever. You can sue her. All right. Anyway, let's start recording again. All right. So the next one. Oh, boy. Here we go. See, Myron from Fresh and Fit. Like, this is like the other guy from the whatever podcast, and I think he's Brian. He'll say things that are controversial, but he is more reserved. He's less likely to want to, like, he in the previous video that I did yesterday, he's less likely to say things that'll get him canceled. I guess he's hesitant to say things. Myron is like, I'm gonna say things that are gonna piss you off, and I don't give a crap because he doesn't care. And here, women lack critical thinking. Let's see what this is. Why he got, probably got demonetized because he says crap like this. But let's see why he thinks women lack critical thinking. All women, to him, lack critical thinking skills. And we're supposed to think that he's not purporting or supporting toxic masculinity. Or you did say it, and maybe you didn't mean it that way, but you said it that way, and you were inartful in how you said it, now you're having to deal with repercussions of how you said it. Well, that was just word salad. I mean, I don't even know what that was. That was just a bunch of word salad. The matter-of-fact way. Like, nothing he said there is any matter-of-fact way. That's just, there's nothing here that he said any matter-of-fact way. That's all word salad. There is a point that you can say, you can make a comment in a certain way that is in a constructive way, and you can make a comment in a non-constructive way. And see, if you care about your partner, or if you have a partner and you care about that partner, you're going to want to word like maybe some criticism that you might have or something that you might want to communicate to your partner in a way that is constructive and helpful. But if you are this guy and you don't care about the person that you're with because you don't view them as a partner, you're not going to care if what you say is constructive or not. You're just going to say whatever it is that you want to say, however it is you want to say it, without any care about their feelings. In which case, you might hurt their feelings, and you're not going to care if their feelings are hurt or not because you view women as walking, talking vaginas. That's no. Or maybe, again, maybe he is limiting, just like the other guy, the people that he dates to only people that accept his limited worldview of how people should be like. And because he's limiting the people that he dates to only the people that accept his worldview, he's limiting the amount of people to those people who would only think and not people who are critical thinkers. Because that's the thing. He doesn't want educated people. He said this before. He doesn't want an educated woman. He doesn't want somebody who's going to go to school, who's going to be a lawyer, who's going to be a doctor. He doesn't want people who are going to be educated. He doesn't want critically thinking woman. So he's a hypocrite here. He will criticize women who are critical thinkers, but then he's going to criticize women for not being a critical thinker. You can't have it both ways, dude. This is why he's toxic. This is why he's a snake oil salesman to all of the people that he's trying to talk to on his podcast. This is why this type of stuff is dangerous to his listeners. This is why I'm making this video series, to reach out to other men who might listen to this stuff, to explain to them why this stuff is so wrong. It's so wrong because in other videos, he's going to tell you, he tells you flat out, women shouldn't be focusing on an education. Women should be doing this, that, or the other. Women should be subservient to men. You know, women who go seek out an education are not going to be getting the, quote, high-value men, because once they go get that education, he's going to say that they're no longer going to be able to get those, quote, high-value men because they've now gone further in life and are no longer going to be able to get those, quote, high-value men. So you need to then get those – you need to give up on those dreams and use your, quote, value as when you're 18, 19, 20 and focus on getting yourself a high-value man at that point. In which case, you're not going to be focusing on, you know, bettering yourself and becoming a thing like a critical thinker. But now, so now you've limited yourself to the people who might not be critical thinkers, and now you're going to be criticizing them for not being critical thinkers. So you've artificially limited your subset of people who are not critical thinkers, and then you're going to criticize them for not being critical thinkers. It's sheer hypocrisy to the nth degree. So, and then he's judging all women based on his small, tiny subset of only the people that he did. And that's what a lot of these people do, not just with women, but with men too. He'll describe what men want, but it's not all the men. It's only the subset of men who, like, listen to his podcast or who he surrounds himself with, because he can't speak for all men because he doesn't hang out with the rest of the men in society who reject this BS. There are men that are emotional too. And guess what? If you are only finding people who are not focusing on, you know, getting an education, you're probably going to find people who are limited in the way in which they communicate. And as such, they might only communicate in certain ways. And then you're going to complain about that? What do you want, dude? Can't have your cake and eat it too. Putin, that podcast dude is a predator. Oh, absolutely he is. We've talked about that before too. He's the one that says that if he comes home and he wants his woman to put out, that she better put out. I mean, it's absolutely rapey. Yeah. It's terrible. Again, that's why I've said I make these videos. You know, I want my sons to be able to, if for some reason I were to kick the bucket someday soon, like, I want my sons to be able to look at these videos and be able to say, this is what I shouldn't do in my relationships with women, if they have relationships with women. Or this is how I should not treat people. I hope I've given them good lessons on how to treat people, but I want them to be able to look at this and say, you know, these are the type of people that I need to avoid and I need to not listen to later in life, because this is the wrong way to look at people. But I also hope that other people, maybe that the people who are being misled and being led down the primrose path, who are being manipulated by these so-called alphas, can maybe watch these videos before it's too late and understand how they're being misled and how they're being manipulated into, you know, thinking that this way of thinking is correct and right, and when it's wrong, it's not. It's BS. It's snake oil. Next video. He loves it with liberals and idiots. So I guess he's saying, is he trying to say the liberals are idiots, or is he like liberals and idiots? So maybe is he saying that we're different, like liberals and idiots? So dudes who are having a midlife crisis, who are like, oh, well, my wife's, I am overweight. I'm probably more overweight than I was ever before. Actually, no, I'm actually lost 75 pounds, so there's that. But this dude is, like, making a justification for, leaving your wife? Because you've realized that now you have some sort of value, so you've increased your value, and as such, you're gonna leave your wife for something better, for some younger woman now, because now you're better off. That's ridiculously shallow. Like, I've had a great relationship with my wife, and now that I'm in a position where I'm doing better, I'm gonna leave. That's ridiculous. Now I'm in a better relationship now. Now I'm in a better position. I want to live a better life with the person who helped me get there. But again, these people don't view the people they're in relationship with as partners. As such, they're not going to consider the fact that their partner helped them get there. I don't think this dude's ever peaked. This dude's just going downhill quickly. He just thinks that he's peaking because, he thinks that what he's offering is somehow up here, but what he's really offering is way down here because it's shallow. It might appear to be gold, but it's pyrite. All right. I mean, and look, that's fine if that's what you want to do. If you want to, get a lot of money and just play around and not have any sort of meaning to your life but be honest about it. Don't make yourself seem like this is the best way to be. Fine. Be a billionaire playboy, whatever, millionaire playboy, whatever. But don't make it out to be that you're now some high value person just because you're going around and playing with your toys, because that's all you're doing is playing with your toys. You're not doing anything meaningful with your life. And if you're married and now you're, because to me, they've said two different things. This guy seems to be saying, I have money. I'm going around the world. I'm playing with my toys. I'm having fun. I'm shooting golf. I'm hunting or whatever. He's not necessarily making the same argument that old Myron said, which is, I'm married, I'm fat, and now I'm realizing that I'm worth much more than I should be. And so what? Myron's point seems to be, hey, I should do something about that and maybe, leave your wife because now you've realized that you're now high value. I mean, that's disgusting. I mean, I'm not saying that anybody should be in a relationship that you're not happy in, but the idea that, that you shouldn't be happy with your wife just because, you're doing better, that's absurd. Next video. Okay, so it's Brian. So now we finally know his name. Brian is his name. Did I say it was Brian earlier? I don't know. So men have been more oppressed than women. We've seen this argument, I think, once before. Men have been more oppressed than women. Well, so here's the deal. Here's their logical fallacy that they always bring up. Because we live in a patriarchal society that has always viewed that men are the only ones that can go to war, that somehow that means that men are oppressed. No. So we've denied women forever the ability to do things that they might have been able to do simply because that they're women. If we would have allowed women to serve in the military, if we would have allowed women to do things that they were physically capable of doing and not denied it to them only because they were women, you would have seen more women serving in the military, and as such, you might have seen more women dying in the military. But we denied them that ability, so therefore, of course, you're going to see more men dying in the military. Because for the longest time, that's the only people that could have served in the military. Like it's the same argument they make with everything. We're going to artificially constrict this to a certain group and then complain that things are happening because we've made this artificial constriction. We're making this problem. It's like the whole thing with like the Hannibal Buress meme. Like, you shoot Hannibal Buress. Why did you make me shoot Hannibal Buress? Like, they made their own problem, and now they're complaining about the problem. No, it's not how it works, dude. That's a privilege. It's a privilege to be oppressed. It's a privilege that we decided that women were not capable of doing certain jobs. It's a bizarre way of thinking. You were told because you're a woman you couldn't do certain jobs, so you're privileged. Because they don't understand what privilege is. That's the whole, they don't understand privilege at all. All right, so this is not Pearl, but this person also seems like she's a pick me as well. Like, okay, but if there were people who would, if you had a battalion of people who were physically capable of serving in the military, who were well trained, who happened to be women, they very well could have done a great job. But guess what? You didn't allow it to happen. So therefore, it couldn't happen. So that's why you can't visualize it. It's the whole airline pilot thing all over again. Because we've had airline pilots that have been white men for such a long time that when you see somebody who is a pilot that's not a white man, you say, oh, well, I don't feel safe because this isn't what we've seen for a while. Well, no, but you can be anybody and be a pilot, and then you're going to be well-trained, and as long as you're well-trained enough to be a pilot and get behind in the cockpit, you're going to do a good job. But we have this mental image of what a pilot is supposed to look like because we've had this thought ingrained in our heads of what pilots look like. So we've had this idea in our minds of what soldiers look like because for the longest time, soldiers have only looked a certain way. But if we didn't do that for the entirety of humanity and we allowed anybody who is physically capable of serving as a soldier to serve as a soldier, we might say, oh, well, sure, of course women can serve as soldiers because if you're physically capable of doing so, we would allow you to do so. But we never did that. And we just started doing that only very recently in the history of humanity. So again, we create the men create the problem. And then we complain about creating the problem. Absurd. Let's see. Bicycle Mike, guys like this ruin it for the rest of us. We aren't all predators. Cynthia from Texas, freaking coworker suggested Joe Rogan to me. That's crazy. What percentage of victims of war, including the history of rape and pillaging, were women? Very good point. Men are not the only victims of war, exactly. Viking shield maidens were quite fierce. Good point. I bicycle raced, some women kicked my butt and were tougher than me. Yeah, absolutely. Because there are plenty of women who would serve and who could kick ass. But in many cultures, they didn't allow them to. Why? Because we have a patriarchal society, but they're not ready for that. All right, let's get the next short. We'll probably just do a couple more. Ooh, modern women get red-pilled. Ooh. Be submissive. High-value things. Be submissive. That makes you high-value because you're submissive. Don't be a pain in the ass. Not speaking a lot. Right, so here you go. They don't want women to speak or not to speak a lot. Okay. Earlier in the last video that we saw from him, or one of the last videos we saw from him, he complained that women didn't argue or discuss things in an articulate or logical way. And now he's saying that he doesn't want women to talk. Which way do you have it? Do you want somebody to be able to have an articulate conversation where they can, give a good logical reasoning and deduction and give good logical points, or do you want them to sit down and shut up? Because, again, you can't have it both ways. Again, he's describing men, but the men he's describing are not not all men. He's describing the men that he hangs out with, the men who watch his podcast, the men who he is focusing his podcast to, the men who he's advertising his podcast to, the men who is in his target audience, the incels, the men's rights advocates, the MGTOWs, the people who he hopes are watching right now, who are watching and like, yeah, I've been screwed over by women so much, man. So, and that's the type of relationship I want, because women have screwed me over for so much. I can't, that's the type of relationship I need because Myron says so, man, and then they're going to find women because, again, heteronormative, cis normative relationships are what they're talking about. They're going to find the women who agree with them because they want to find the women who want these so-called high-value alpha men, and they're going to agree with it. But then they're going to complain that the women are lacking in certain areas because you've artificially constricted who you're dating. Just like the other guy in the other video the other day who was complaining that he complained that when he showed a little bit of emotion to somebody he was dating and then she left him or they broke up because the relationship changed. Why? Because he artificially constricted the people who he dates to only those people who agree with the shallow set of rules that they believe in when it comes to relationships. Instead of finding people who really believe that, relationships should be 50-50, you should be a partner with your people that you're in a relationship with. No, he doesn't value the person who he is screwing opinions. He wants to find a wife who is just going to be there to serve his penis. That's all he wants. Literally all he wants, a status symbol, somebody who he can have his arm candy, who will do whatever sexual favors that he wants her to do, that he can throw away and toss aside when she doesn't serve his needs any longer. Why would they not call you a misogynist? That's what you are. Sure. I mean, you think that women live a much easier life than men because you think that in this artificial world that you constructed for them, that you're going to say, okay, well, I'm going to say that I'm going to provide for you, and therefore you are going to do this and this and this for me. So therefore, you're going to be my sex slave, basically what it entails to. You're gonna follow my set of rules, and you're gonna be stuck with me because I want you to. I don't want, because he's gonna make sure, he wants to make sure that his, because she does, he doesn't want his, as we've seen in other videos, he doesn't want his girlfriends or wife to have any other guy friends because he's afraid that she's gonna screw him. They can't go out and like party with their friends. They can't have fun with their friends, because he's afraid that she's going to find somebody else, because he's insecure, because, you know, that's what insecure people think. He wants her to only, he doesn't want her to talk. He doesn't want to hear her opinions, and he wants her to put out whenever he wants her to. He doesn't want her to be educated. So he doesn't want her to be able to feel like she can leave at any time that she wants to. So he basically wants somebody who's going to be, who he finds attractive, who's going to put out all the time, and who's going to basically be stuck once she's with him and has no way out, who's going to be trapped with him. That he wants basically an abusive relationship, because that's the only way that these type of people can keep a quote relationship. It's not even a relationship. That's the only way that they can keep a person around, because they can't keep a person around based on having a 50-50 partnership, because they don't have what it takes to bring that. They don't have anything to bring to the table to have a partnership with somebody. They don't have what it takes to do that. They lack any sort of value for that sort of thing. So they have to manufacture value. Again, they believe themselves to be gold, but it's pyrite. And they're selling themselves as gold when they're fool's gold. What can they tell them about life? Well, they're only picking people who have no life experience. Again, he's not going to date somebody who's 30 years old, who's a lawyer, who's a doctor, who's been educated, who's had life experience, who's, you know, had more than a couple sexual partners, who's been around the world, who's had a good time, who's been able to have life experiences outside of him. He wants people who've had no experience in life. So, of course, people he date won't be able to tell him much about life, because that's not what he doesn't want anybody who can tell him about life, because he wants people who don't have experience with life, because he wants people who he can talk down to and who he can own. Because anybody who has life experience is going to look at him and be like, psh, this is BS. I don't want to be with anybody who's like this. But he doesn't. He's probably not going to want a lawyer or a paralegal. He doesn't want anybody who has any sort of education. But yeah, so he's going through way more in life, but he doesn't want anybody else who's gone through that much more in life. It's hypocritical, again. Because he's going to judge women for not having gone through all that in life, because he's only picking women who are like 18, 19, 20, who have little life experience. How can you judge somebody for not having life experience when you're only picking people who have no life experience, because you're only going after 18, 19, 20-year-olds? This is why y'all people who watch this stuff and believe in this stuff are being fooled. This is the con. He's manipulating you into thinking that women bring no value, only because he's conning you into thinking that women, all women are like this, when in reality he's only dating people with no life experience, and then he's assigning that to all women when there are plenty of women out there who have lots of life experience. He's just choosing not to date them because he's afraid to date them, because if he dates them, he knows that they're not going to put up with his bullshit. In his situation, sure, because again, he's only picking the people who have limited life experience. He's only picking the 18, 19, 20-year-olds, the people who don't have an education, the people who – he doesn't want educated women. So if he's not going to pick people with – if he's only picking people with limited life experience, of course they're going to make less money than him. Of course they're going to – again, you can't judge women based on – by a limited subset of people that you're picking. Again, you want your person to be a subordinate. So therefore, you don't want a partner. So you have a shallow life. I'm sure you cannot have a good relationship if your person that you're in a relationship with is not a partner. Kimchi, who is this loser? Never heard of him. Never want to hear him again. Again, this person is somebody who's very popular. Unfortunately for him, maybe fortunately for the rest of the world, he's somebody who got demonetized on YouTube. I don't know what it is exactly that he said that got him demonetized, but he got demonetized on YouTube, and the video where it happened, he damn near cried. Why? Because he can no longer get super chats. And guess what? Not crying for him, not one bit. But the reason why I do these videos, reason I decided that I want to make these videos, I've been wanting to make these videos for a long time, because men's rights advocates, men going their own way, incels, all of these people are harmful to society. They perpetuate toxic masculinity. And not enough folks like myself, cis white men, are fighting back against them. We need to fight back against these people. We need to stand up and say, look, you know, men, other men, listen to us. This is not what you want to be like. This is why what these people are saying is full of shit, because they're full of shit. This is why what they're saying is wrong. So I get it. These people suck. These people absolutely suck. And it absolutely sucks that they say these things. And look, I don't want to, you know, I don't necessarily will say, hey, let's give these person a platform. It's not that I want to give them a platform, but I want to tell people, this is why this crap is wrong. I want my sons to know why this stuff is wrong. I want other men to know why this stuff is wrong. So this is why I'm kind of wanting to do these shorts, and why I'm going to cut these up into shorter videos. So maybe some people will see some of these shorter videos and be like, hey, you know, maybe I should take a listen to some of these longer videos, because, hey, maybe he's making some good points as to why Myron and Byron and, hey, they rhyme, and all these, Brian, Myron and Brian are making all of these, you know, points about women, but maybe they're wrong. Maybe they're making bad points. And maybe I should take a listen to the other side. A great man listens to the company you keep. Mess with trash, you get dirty. Yep. Rise of misogyny goes hand in hand with white supremacy. Nationalism is the Christian fash. Yep. These dudes probably have no idea what their edgy ideas are, holdovers from the Iron Age, effing illiterates. I mean, I would argue that maybe they do know. A lot of con artists do know what they're doing. The people that listen might not know. The people that watch might not know what's happening to them. A lot of snake oil salesmen know what they're selling is not the real deal. But they still sell it anyway because they know people will buy it. These people know that what they're selling is not that when they're telling people how to be alphas, there's no such thing as an alpha, but they're showing these people how to be alpha men or whatever. They know that the people watching this are not going to be like them, that they're going to be still going to be a bunch of incels at the end of the day. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to keep trying to convince them that if they, you know, that they still can be that, because they want them to continue to watch the channel. They want them to continue to do super chats if they still are monetized. They want them to still be able to, you know, participate and contribute money and add views and continue to help them grow to be more popular so they can, you know, continue to spread their filth to everybody. Do one or two more. On the two more. Liberal feminist tries reality check Brian. Women are more... It's not true. 100% true. It's not true. Back and forth. It's not true. It is true. It's not true. It is true. I mean, I don't know if that's scientifically true or not. They're making generalizations, but let's just assume that he's telling the truth, which is hard for me to do, but let's go ahead. This is a common complaint amongst these type of men. Well, it's not fair that women control sex. Here's the thing that he doesn't get and that men like this don't get. The reason why it is viewed that women control sex is because men often are the ones that are constantly throwing themselves at women all the damn time. Like, throwing spaghetti at the wall, trying to see if anything will stick. Constantly trying to hump everything that moves. So the reason that women are the ones that supposedly control sex is because society says, because of toxic masculinity and the patriarchy and all the other stuff, that men are the pursuers and that women are the pursued. So if we have those archaic gender roles, that's just that men are the pursuers and that women are the pursued, then obviously that the women are the ones who are going to be the ones that say yes or no more often, because men are the pursuers and women are the pursued. And so if we continue to perpetuate those archaic gender roles, then sure, women are going to be the, quote, gatekeepers, so to speak. But also, if you have lots of cases where, you know, the shotgun approach, so to speak. Like, take for example, like on Tinder, a dude will try and just swipe whatever direction you swipe. Was it right? I guess on like just constantly swiping right as much as you can. Not even reading profile, just swipe right. Not even bothering to read a profile, just right. Just hoping one of them will say yes. Hoping one of them says yes. Just constantly just throwing themselves at as many women as possible, just trying, hoping once one will be the one that says, okay, let's go ahead and do it. If that didn't happen, if men weren't such sluts, then maybe there would be more equality in who pursues whom. So I would say yes. Just because women are the ones that say yes or no more often doesn't mean that men aren't the ones that are more... I would say she's absolutely right. Men are more promiscuous because men are the ones who are seeking it out more, because men are the ones that are throwing themselves at more women. She's absolutely right. He's completely wrong on this because he doesn't understand that men are constantly just throwing themselves at women all the damn time. Men are a bunch of sluts. I'm not slut shaming. I mean, look, if you want to have, there's nothing wrong with having sex. There's nothing wrong with having casual sex. But if you're constantly hounding people for sex, I mean, you shouldn't be harassing people for sex. That's wrong. Harassing for sex is wrong. You shouldn't be, you know, but if you're just constantly just throwing yourself out there, being like, you know, hey, want to have sex? And women are getting barraged by that 24/7. Then yeah, there's no reason for women to be the pursuers because they're constantly being pursued, and they're just having all of this falling in their lap. So yeah, they get to choose. They don't have to do any work because the men are just throwing themselves at them constantly. That's what these guys don't get. They're always missing a big chunk of the picture and trying to make it look like, oh, women have it so easy. No, they have to dodge all these creeps that are trying to just consistently throw themselves at them. All right. One more. The advice of my biggest slut, you... Be a slut. Don't you want to be a slut too? Like Dr. Pepper. I'm a slut. You're a slut. He's a slut. She's a slut. Won't you want to be a slut too? Bicycle Mike, I grew up thinking you had to get a woman drunk. Boy, I found out quick that drunk women don't. And that's bad too, because drunk women can't consent neither. You don't. I mean, unless you have a Jimmy Buffett, speaking of Jimmy Buffett, unless you have a Jimmy Buffett arrangement, you shouldn't be having sex while drunk. Brian Destroys Radical Feminist. What is the wage gap? The gap in wages. For work. Just because it's illegal to pay women less for the same job doesn't mean bosses haven't been trying to do it. I mean, Lilly Ledbetter versus Goodyear Tire happened. And the only reason that she lost her suit is because you had an activist conservative Supreme Court, you know, ruling by Alito, who is the king of horrible rulings on the Supreme Court, decided that people had to be psychic in order to determine that they were being paid an unfair wage. And we're just going to ignore the 90 seconds thing on Blog Talk Radio because we're just going to continue going on. So, but yeah, Alito decided that in order for you to bring a lawsuit against your employer for paying you a discriminatory wage, that you have to be psychic on the first point that they paid you an unfair wage, even though, as RBG pointed out in her dissent, there was already a time and a ruling in a previous Supreme Court precedent that said that each payment of a discriminatory wage reset the clock. But Alito didn't care about that previous Supreme Court precedent. Stare decisis be damned. He was going to go against previous stare decisis and previous Supreme Court precedent, and he was going to require that Lilly Ledbetter be psychic to determine to be able to bring a lawsuit against her employer, against Goodyear Tire, to say that she was being paid a discriminatory wage. So that's why they had to pass the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act in order to make sure that people could bring a lawsuit against their employer when they found out that they were being paid a discriminatory wage instead of having to be psychic about it. So while it's been illegal to be paid a discriminatory wage, that doesn't mean that employers haven't been doing so. And even still, that even if you have the case where somebody who has an equal, two people who have the same experience who might be different genders or getting paid different wages, that's illegal. You still have overall the wage gap as a general rule. So, and it's hard to make lawsuits against that in the aggregate. In the aggregate, it still happens overall. And I'm sure he's going to bring up the idea that in some professions that women get paid more than men, but that's only because in those professions, they're viewed as being women's jobs. And therefore, it's still upholding patriarchal ideas of what women should do and what men should do. No, because you have a Supreme Court like we had that defend companies who do so because for such a long time it's hard to prove. Because not only did you have to be psychic like Alita required, you have companies who required who made you feel like you were somehow breaking some sort of unspoken rule or even a spoken rule that you were not allowed to discuss wages, what wage you were making with your fellow employees. You were somehow being a bad employee if you told your fellow coworker, hey, I make this much money. How much do you make? And that you were somehow a bad employee for doing that. And that was supposed to be a secret. Don't tell anybody what you work. That's private information. So therefore, people didn't share that information. So therefore, you didn't know. How are you supposed to find out otherwise? No, because companies are also misogynist when it comes to that, and they choose sometimes to not hire women because they're like, oh, well, this woman might get pregnant, so therefore we don't want to have to deal with that. So there are other issues pertaining with the hiring of women that are beyond the pay issue that happen. And there are also issues that where people believe, oh, well, we dealt with that in the other video, where people think, oh, well, a woman can't do this job because she's not, you know, she doesn't have the drive to do it. We discussed that in my response to the comment video that I made. If you look up at that video where I responded to a comment in a previous video where somebody said that men are in higher positions of power because they have drive. And I was like, no, it's not because the men have drive. It's because when women have drive, women are called bossy. Well, the problem that you have a business is to make money, but they're still going to hold on to these antiquated beliefs that are going to say that the best way to make money is to hire the, quote, best people. But if they don't believe that the best people are women, they're not going to hire the women. So if they hold these sexist views that the women aren't the best people, then they're not going to hire the best people. And if they feel that the best people aren't women, but they still hire the woman because they feel like they have to hire the woman, they're going to hire the woman for less money because they feel they can get away with it for some reason. By switching to Geico, sorry. And I've just explained for many reasons why Brian is, again, wrong about this issue. So, anyway, that is the end of these response videos. I think I've done enough response videos. Let's go up to respond to some of these. Maybe these dudes are younger and it's just a weird cultural thing. I don't get it as all, you know, being able to get laid. Well, I mean, look, like I'll say this. When it comes to, like, as I got heavier and as I got older, my ability to date, which included my ability to find sex partners casually or not, increased. I got more confident in myself, which enabled me to find more sex partners. It's easy as that. Like, you know, there are people, I've known friends who are very frustrated who just about not being able to find a relationship, not being able to, you know, find any sort of physical release with anybody. And it's frustrating. I know it's frustrating. And that's what these people are targeting, those men who are frustrated because they're having such problems. But a lot of these people, are having such problems because they're socially inept, and so they make easy marks for these types of people. They become easy marks because they're upset, they're lonely, they're sad, and then it's much easier to blame other people than it is to do some self-introspection and be able to say, oh, well, maybe I'm not getting dates because of something that I'm doing. Maybe I'm not getting dates because of the way I'm behaving. Maybe I'm not getting dates because of, you know, I'm not grooming myself well enough. You know, maybe I'm not taking care of myself well enough. I mean, you know, sometimes people let themselves go and get a little lazy. Like, you know, yesterday, I don't know if you noticed yesterday, but my beard was, my goatee was a little disheveled. I didn't have my full everything shaved, but today, because I was going to go, you know, see people out in public, I decided that it was a good idea to, you know, clean up a little bit. So I made sure to clean up a little bit. And that's what you do. You make sure to, but some of these people, you know, as you'll sometimes hear people derogatorily be referred to as neckbeards, or, you know, they won't take care of themselves. They'll let everything just kind of blah, or they won't take a shower every day. They won't, or they won't take a shower before they go out, and they'll look slovenly and blah. And even, you don't have to be thin to look, to dress nice and look nice. And then, you know, they'll complain when, you know, the people just look at them and be like, bleh, and are not wanting to be seen near them. And then they'll be like, well, women won't talk to me. They won't talk to you because you made yourself look like a schlub. And I guess that's what sticks out, the lack of self-awareness and introspection, blaming the women for their shortcomings. Exactly. So their unwillingness to look in for themselves. And then you have these people like Myron from Fresh Fit, Brian from the Whatever podcast, who are willing to, who are manipulating the situation. They're taking advantage of the situation by saying these things. Like, you know, there was a time when I, you know, there are a lot of things that men think that, I'll be honest, you know, a lot of men will think things, I think, independently of them, of other men, that I think it's natural for dudes to come up with thoughts that other dudes come up with just by themselves. Like the whole, you know, hey, why don't you smile? I never once heard anybody else tell another woman, a woman, you know, hey, why don't you smile? Or, you know, I never heard that happen before. But when I was in college, I thought, hey, that might be a nice way to talk to somebody. To say, hey, I'd love to see you smile. And so I did. And I did that. And then I actually heard one of my other people that I knew do the same thing. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird that he also does that. And then later on, I learned how shitty that is and how it's ridiculous. And how that's a thing that a lot of guys do, and that it's not a good thing to do. And I was like, oh, okay, that was bad of me. I shouldn't have done that. Because people have the right to not smile, and you don't have the right to tell them to smile. And sometimes people are having a crappy day, and they don't want to smile, and it's none of your business why they're not smiling, so shut up about it. Like, and there are other things that you know, guys, you know, I once had the thought, man, it's so much easier for women to get laid than men. Like, I had that thought, too. It's so much easier for women to get laid than men. And then I told my best friend, who happened to be a woman at the time, you know, and she was like, yeah, but that just because it's easier doesn't mean we want it. I'm like, true, but if you did want it, you could probably go get it. But again, I was a stupid 18, 19, 20-year-old college kid without much life experience and, you know, maybe a little bit upset about the fact that, you know, maybe I wasn't having as much success dating as possible as I maybe would have liked to. I didn't act all incel-y maybe, but it was just, you think through these things and you kind of go through these things in your life. And then, you know, I stopped having those things because, you know, you eventually some people grow out of it because you mature and you learn. And other people don't grow out of it. And other people continue to talk about this BS and embrace the BS and continue to spew it and then make podcasts about it and perpetuate it and hope to get people to super chat them about it, I guess. So, Cynthia from Texas, it's not my job to smile for you is my response. And that's right. And it's not your job to smile for me. Like, you know, and if I want you to smile, right, it's not, I shouldn't simply just tell you to smile. You know, maybe I should do something funny. But, you know, again, you have the right to be left alone if you want to be left alone. And, like, I quickly learned in college that, you know, when I would approach people, the only time I would ever approach people, like at a bar, like I would have just randomly cold walk up to people cold and be like, hey, how's it going? I would wait for there to be eye contact. If there was eye contact and if there was a smile, at that point I would approach. Because that would then mean, okay, maybe this person is interested in having more of a conversation or something. But if there was eye contact and no smile, if there was no eye contact, then I would just leave the person alone because at that point I can't know whether or not there was any interest there or not. So you just leave the person alone. And that's, unfortunately, most people, a lot of guys don't understand that. And when you learn those sort of things independently, you know, maybe that's why my social life got better. And because also I learned how to have more confidence. Do men get told to smile? I'm just asking. I got told to smile, but it was from another guy. I was also sexually harassed at a bar from a guy too. I was in a bar and I was right across the street from my apartment and I was just wanted to have a couple drinks and just sit here and sit there and blah. I was feeling blah and I was just, you know, just enjoying myself, just having a few drinks. And this guy came up to me and started hitting on me and wouldn't leave me alone. And I had no interest in him. I've told people that story and they're like, well, welcome to womanhood for a day. And I was like, well, I didn't want to say it, but you know, maybe that's true. I don't remember if there's ever been a time where a woman has told me to smile unironically. Like, I think maybe they told me to do it in a funny way, like, hey, why don't you smile? Like, you know, trying to be silly. Like, there's been a couple of times where I've been in situations where I've been in the situation where, like, I was one time when I was in an Uber driver, I was sexually harassed by a female passenger of mine, and she crossed the line. And not too far of a line, but a line was crossed. Like it wasn't a Boebert line. I'll just put it that way. She did not Boebert me. Like that wasn't done, but she did say some graphic things. She did touch that she wasn't supposed to do any sort of touching and she did do some touching. And it's very well possible that the only reason she was doing it was because she was trying to get me to come in the house so they could mug me, because there was a situation a few weeks later where a couple did entice somebody to come back into their house for a threesome and then they mugged the guy. Now, they didn't tell me that I was coming back into the house to be mugged, but, you know, or coming back for the house for the threesome, but she was trying to entice me to come back into the house and I was just like, no, I didn't. Obviously, I was like, look, you know, I would tell the people, look, there's two strikes against you. A, she was drunk and or high, and B, I'm married. and C, you know, it's against Uber rules. So, but Putin says, though, people grow up and the path there can be awkward. But unfortunately, there are people who don't grow up. And that's the target of these people in these podcasts. And hopefully, maybe I can get a few of these people to come along and be like, hey, these people are misleading me. These people are selling me a bill of goods. These people are not being genuine articles. These people are snake oil salesmen. Or maybe I can get people before they even get to the Fresh and Fit podcast. Maybe I'll be inserted into their timelines and I'll be able to counteract what they're hearing from the other side. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe not. I don't know. But it's worth a shot. Because I don't necessarily believe that all people are lost causes. Because we shouldn't give up on all people. There are some people who may very well be lost causes, but I don't think all people are lost causes. And that's why I debate conservatives on the show. One of the reasons I debate conservatives on the show is because I don't think all people are lost causes. I think that you can reach people. I think you can mend bridges. I think you can learn to understand other people, how they feel. The other reason I debate conservatives on the show is because I think it's important for other people to learn how to debate conservatives. Because I think, as we've seen, like with Gibson Media, as he even said, after our discussions, I've made him change his mind on a few topics. If I can make him change his mind on a few topics, so can y'all. Especially if you follow my lead. So, anyway, hopefully, but hopefully with these videos, we can get enough out there. Because again, I'm a cis white dude. There are lots of cis white dudes out there that are needing help, that are vulnerable to their type of crap, and if they hear it from women, it's not going to help. There are, you know, as we saw from one of the from the video yesterday, from Brian from the Whatever podcast, he was burned by a woman. He was burned by several women. It's not, and he talks to these women. He's surrounded by women, and he rejects everything that these women have to say. Nothing that these women say will ever get through to him. Because he's been burned by women so much that nothing will ever get through. I don't even know if anything I would say would get through to him, honestly, because I think he's been burned so much. I think, to use a Christian term, I think his heart has been hardened so much that I don't think you'd get there. But I don't think that a lot of these guys who are their targets, I'm not sure that a woman trying to explain why these guys are full of crap would be able to make it through, because they're feeling upset and angry at the rejections that they've felt from women, and they're listening to these guys like, yeah, these women suck, blah, blah, blah. But maybe if they hear it from a guy, maybe if they hear it from somebody like me, you know, somebody who clearly isn't, you know, a perfect specimen of a chiseled man, you know, somebody who you know, may have had a lack of success early on in my dating life, but is happily married with two children, who did have a successful dating life before marriage, who had himself fun before marriage. Maybe I can get through to those folks. Maybe. And if I can't, oh well, I tried. But good night, Aaron. And look, Kimchi, I'll also do my fair share of derision. Don't get me wrong. I have my derision, too. That's why I have the Liberal Band Shopper City, Words of Redneck Wisdom, Hypocrite of the Week. Derision's there, too. Why I'm coming up with a bunch of Disney songs to parody. You know, look, there's plenty of stuff on my podcast that I do where I deride conservatives as well. I have fun with it. I'm absolutely going to have fun with it, too. So, but I think there's room for both. I think there's room for having fun and mocking them and doing my bits and having fun with the bits. But I think there's also room for making some serious things and actually fighting toxic masculinity and stuff like that and fighting against them with serious commentary. And I think that's what maybe sets me apart. And I think that's what hopefully will get me across the line to get me there to 1,000, to get me, you know, and look, I'm not doing it just to get me to 1,000 and just to get me to be a successful podcast. But I think one of the reasons I ultimately will become a successful podcast is because I'm giving people things that perhaps other podcasts aren't doing and something that needs to be done. So anyway. That's the end of this week's episode of Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left. That's right. I will be on tomorrow on twitch.tv/nerdydan.com. So come visit me there, where I will be doing some Dreamhead Valley, some Fortnite, Rocket League, other good stuff. Some of those shorts should be uploaded by the morning. Also, I will be back here Monday for the Monday night airing of the podcast, where we will start the regular schedule Mondays and Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central. I think Wednesday I will be having a repeat conservative guest on the show as well, talking about the elimination of bail bonds in Illinois, and we'll talk about that too. That should be interesting. Until then, this is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk to the left. That's right.